Don't like the story, but I know it's fascinating to many of you, so please tune in. And thanks for listening to The Radio Factor on Westwood One.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 53 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Now that Kobe Bryant's sexual assault trial has been bound over to Eagle District Court, the person answering to the words, Your Honor, is Judge Terry Ruckrigal. The presiding district judge gave himself the case, even though under an assignment rotation system, People v. Bryant should have gone to second-year Judge Tom Moorhead. University of Denver law professor Karen Steinhauser says, given the circumstances, this sort of move is unusual but not unheard of.
Judge Ruckrigal has a lot of experience as a judge, more experience than the judge who would have been in line to take it. And I also thought that he was the presiding judge up there.
Next up is an advisement hearing on November 10th. At that appearance, Bryant may or may not enter a plea. Meanwhile, the Lakers star last night played in his first preseason game since being charged. He was greeted by thunderous applause when the Lakers faced the L.A. Clippers in Anaheim. FBI investigators are trying to track down a man they believe is responsible for at least four Denver area bank holdups. The Bureau has released surveillance pictures of a person who entered a Compass Bank in Arvada while a robbery was in progress. That heist took place October 14th at the 64th and Indiana branch. The FBI believes the man on the surveillance video may have crucial information. Air Force Academy officials announced yesterday that 9 cases of sexual assault or harassment of cadets have been reported to officials since the new leadership took command in April. 3 other cases being handled by the sexual assault response team occurred at least 9 months ago. Investigators dismissed 2 of the cases as unfounded. Commandant of Cadets Brigadier General Johnny Wida says that he may be unable to prosecute some of the cases, quote, based on the facts and circumstances that have been presented to me. Wida says alcohol was a common factor in the cases and there were few witnesses. This is the first report provided since January when female cadets alleged the Academy ignored their assault reports and punished some for reporting. The teenage girl who was driving a car which crashed, killing another girl, has been charged in the death. 15-year-old Kabila Yang of Westminster is charged with careless driving resulting in death and violation of her temporary learner's permit. The accident happened as a group of teens in the car was returning to Westminster High School after lunch at 76th and Sheridan on October 2nd. The car went out of control down into a walkway, landing on its top. 15-year-old Nal Lohr was killed in the accident. The cause of the crash still isn't known. Yang will appear in court on December 19th. Strong Santa Ana winds are fueling 3 wildfires burning in Southern California. Mary Wilshire of the California Department of Forestry and Fire Prevention said the winds are the main concern for firefighters tackling the blaze.
I would say the wind with the predictions and everything and what they currently are showing is it's playing probably 100% into their consideration.
The Grand Prix fire in San Bernardino County is the top priority. That fire has charred more than 4,000 acres and is only 17% contained, but so far no structures have been damaged. The other fires burning in Southern California pose less of a threat. Senate Democrats are turning up the volume on concerns about pre-war intelligence. During a meeting of the Democratic Senate Policy Committee, a former CIA operative suggested that high-level members of the Bush administration were searching for intelligence that would support pre-war suppositions. Vince Canestraro is a former operations and analyst chief at the CIA's Counterterrorism Center.
There was a pattern of pressure placed on the analyst to provide supporting data for objectives which were already articulated. It's the inverse of the intelligence ethic.
Canestraro left the CIA in 1991. The Washington Post reports that the Senate Intelligence Committee is preparing a report that will blast the U.S. intelligence community for overstating pre-war evidence against Iraq. The preliminary hearing for the murder trial of Scott Peterson has been delayed once again until next Wednesday morning. The judge told attorneys the preliminary hearing will be next week.
I think Wednesday is the logical solution to trail the matter. So let's plan on having your witnesses here that are necessary on Wednesday, and we'll proceed right at 9:30.
This morning's appearance, a status conference centered around working out details of the preliminary hearing, such as witnesses. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche hammered the Oilers last night, beating Edmonton 6-1. Avs will be in Nashville tomorrow night to play the Predators. The Broncos will be in Baltimore Sunday to play the Ravens. The Broncos, who are 5-2, will be without Ed McCaffrey, who's out with an injured knee. Why buy a 2003 when you can get a new 2004 for the same price at John Elway? John Elway has 04s for the price of 03s. There are over 7,000 new cars, so hurry to John Elway today. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Puppetry of the Penis, the international hit comedy that everyone is talking about.
It was hysterical. I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
Inspiring.
Funny. Very good. Nothing like that we've seen before, but very good. It was hysterical. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Entertaining. It was great to bring my husband, one of the few men here, tonight. It was great.
It looked painful.
These two naked Aussies achieve a lunatic virtuosity, sending audiences into hysterics in New York and London. Now Denver audiences will be roaring with laughter. Starting September 30th at the new Denver Civic Theater, 721 Santa Fe Drive. A once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's hard to resist the good-natured silliness, raves variety. Don't miss this hilarious phenomenon. The Philadelphia Inquirer raves, it's good, clean fun.
Entertaining, embarrassing, funny, silly. I laughed really hard. I would say come see.
Suppose you can imagine a guy sitting next to you just crossing his legs going, no, no, no.
Puppetry of the Penis. Reserve seats on sale now at Tickets West Outlets, TicketsWest.com, and the Denver Civic Theater box office. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by FedEx, and we're clearing a bunch of accidents. Westbound Bellevue to northbound I-25, clearing an accident there. Alameda and Williams, and a couple problems downtown, 16th and Market, 16th and Race. Should be just out of there as well. With express, ground, and freight services, FedEx offers delivery options for all your shipping needs. You can always rely on the ultimate and reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's a check on traffic. I'm Darren Copeland for KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It was like summer yesterday, but it's going to be like winter today. A colder air mass over our area. Yesterday we were at 84. Today much cooler, 59. We are going to see mostly sunny skies, though. Later on tonight, down to 27 degrees. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine out there, 48. And for Sunday, a mostly cloudy start, then those clouds decrease, turning our sky partly cloudy, going to be a little windy, high of 58. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yeah, it's mostly sunny, 53 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, noon to 3. Tell your friends that they can finally listen to some really hot talk radio when they tune into KNRC. So if we are new to you, or you are new to us, what you should know about us is that we're live, we're local, we're locally owned, we're trying to do real radio here, not what the what they're doing in the whole world of consolidated broadcasts in the Walmart across the way. Speaking of which, there is more information about Rush Limbaugh. First of all, in some industry publications, well, I just got an email from one of you, from Scott, so let me just share this with you. It's scary to think that a significant portion of our country's citizens' political views were formed by the mad rantings of a dope fiend, Enid. If you showed up drunk and raved on the air for about a week, KNRC would say goodbye to you, rightfully so, but Clear Channel did not fire Rush Limbaugh, who broadcast stoned, out of his mind for years and years because he makes so much money for them. Is there a proper moral judgment to be made here? And I ask you that, 303-382-1150. Here's what the trades are saying in the broadcast industry. As talk radio marks week number two of Life Without Rush, Life Without Limbaugh, his brother is saying that he's in good spirits and doing well and looking forward in a major way to returning to the show upon completion of treatment. I'm sure that's a very perky face. I think if you're going through withdrawal, if anybody ever saw the film Man with a Golden Arm or read anything about withdrawal, I don't think it's this perky at all. And besides which, the facility they're supposed to be in, they have that equine therapy where you make friends with horses and the horses make friends with you, and God knows what that can lead to. Anyway, treatment modality. They have all these words that are so pompous and so puffed up. These are like words on steroids. These are like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of words. Anyway, a new survey released this week reports that 95% of Limbaugh's listeners are ready to give him a second chance to, quote, start over with a clean slate. More than half those questioned also said that they would be more likely to use the products and services offered by advertisers who stick with the show. Now, this sounds to me like a manipulated and bogus study to keep the advertisers from jumping ship, and they don't want to be with a junkie. The advertisers don't want to be putting money or advertising with someone who is a junkie. So here are the listeners, more than half of whom, according to this, I think, rather bogus study, saying that they would be more likely to use products and services offered by advertisers who stood by their man here. But 95% of Rush's audience said that it would give him a second chance to start over with a clean slate. Would you like to comment about that? Is that just American generosity, or is that stupidity? Now, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I'm going to tell you, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to tell you what he said to me. He said, I have said it regarding conservatives, and not real conservatives. I've said it regarding people who are nasty and call themselves conservatives. I've said that there are a few IQ points short of a top story. He says, he thinks, and you may dispute this, you may squeal like a stuck pig, but he believes that Republicans are not as smart as Democrats. 303-382-1150, and he feels that the reason that the conservatives and Republicans in general have not let go of Bill Clinton, blaming him for everything that George W. Bush is doing, and then some, is because he was near genius in terms of his intellect. Of course, he was also near genius in terms of his flaws, but that they resented the fact that he was so smart, and it made everybody who wasn't as smart feel threatened. I don't know if I believe that, but I toss it out for you to consider. Do you think it's true? Now, there has been this research that was done at the University of California, Berkeley, that tells us that conservatives are more likely to see the world in black and white, which doesn't argue for a greater intelligence. I think the smarter you are, the more nuance you see, the more shades of gray you see. 303-382-1150. Also, that they're more frightened. That conservatives are more frightened, and that they therefore, the more frightened you get, the more you need to feel like you need to have a harsh response and tamp down that which could frighten you because you can't control it. So they tend to see things more in black and white. They tend to be more fearful in general. Conservatives, or people who call themselves conservative. And if you're seeing things in black and white, it's because you don't have a subtle intelligence. I think it means you're not as bright. Now, I know this is a snob-o-matic thing to say, but I wonder if you feel that way. And that my friend's analysis of why Bill Clinton is conservatives and the religious right and certain groups of Republicans can still make them angry. Call down more investigations on and more anger. I've never seen anybody be the target of more anger than Bill Clinton was when he was in office and even out of office. And my friend maintains that it's because Bill Clinton was very smart and he was therefore very threatening to a lot of people. Is that too glib an assessment? I think there were a lot of things. I don't think it was just his intelligence. And I'm not sure. I think that was the salient part of it. I'm not sure. I think it was more his... what the cultural values that he stood for, because we're now in the middle of these culture wars, fanned in large part by talk radio. And Rush Limbaugh, who has been high on hillbilly heroin all these years, apparently, was one of the biggest fanners because he saw that it was a profit center. So he didn't care what happened to the country. You call these guys, these puffed up porcos, patriots. And by the way, when we were talking about what's a better name for the Patriot Act yesterday, I was thinking along the lines of maybe the... alleged Patriot Act, or the actual anti-Patriot Act, or because it's such a glib public relations attempt to gloss over the substantial and very troubling loss of our civil liberties. 303-382-1150. The lines are just about full. I think there's one line open. 303-382-1150. Let's begin with Paul in Denver. Hi, Paul. You're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
Many subjects here to broach with you. As for the relative IQ difference between Republicans and Democrats, I can't really say that I believe in that necessarily. However, as a Democrat, I find that most people with whom I have debates and who are Republican just aren't up on policy. They aren't up on analysis of things. They tend to just believe the parrot heads, the ditto heads, the you know, the prepackaged pablum that Rush freely dispensed, that just speaks to a lowest common denominator, and they don't seem to be able to get beyond that, and frankly, can't have very intellectual discussions with many Republicans.
A lot of them who call over, call here, and those of you who are Rush listeners, I invite you to listen here while he's gone, and you're getting sort of second-rate folks who don't have his luster filling in for him. So come on over here, or if you've been listening over there, whatever they're pumping you up with, come on over here and get a real reality check. But I have had a lot of people call, and what they give me are a lot of the cliches that are spouted over there. Well, liberal press and stuff like that. These are people who don't even pick up a Los Angeles Times or a New York Times or anything purported to be part of the liberal press, and so they haven't got a clue about it. But they're taking what does he call himself? Talent on loan from God? It should be like talent on loan from hillbilly heroin.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think a really, really key thing is, Bill O'Reilly, sort of emblematic of it. He's just a Republican in sheep's clothes. He says this thing about Al Franken's book being a defamatory book. He constantly calls it defaming book. I read Al Franken's book. He doesn't defame anything. He just points out facts by pure research. And in true Republican fashion, Bill O'Reilly just jumps up and down and screams and yells, defamer, defamer. And, in fact, I don't see where there's any defamatory intent or content out of Al Franken's book. And I think that's just part.
But the question is, we've got a board full of calls here. The question is, are Republicans smarter or dumber than Democrats? My friend thinks that they're dumber than Democrats. That if you were really smart, you couldn't be a Republican.
I would have a hard time arguing against it, Eamon.
All right, I thank you for the call. 303-382. That opens up one line. 303-382-1150. Mary Jane calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Eamon.
Hi. Just one quick addition to the possible IQ. Is this why we are failing in having enough conservatives on our university faculty? Yes, we get the most able people, but who are they?
Ooh, Mary Jane. Oh, my God. Oh, that's very good. Thank you. 303-382. So here she's alleged, Mary Jane, saying that whole David Horowitz deal about let's get more conservatives on the faculty. Maybe they're not there because if my friend is right, he's saying conservatives aren't as bright as progressives. Republicans aren't as bright as Democrats. It's a little bit glib, but maybe there's some truth to it because according to the research at UC Berkeley, tells us that conservatives see things in black and white, that they tend generally to be more fearful, and when you're fearful, you act accordingly, and you create the very fear that you're trying to prevent. A lot of the times, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Bob, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Eamon on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I think that there's something about the book that Gary Zukav wrote about Seat of the Soul that says you're either driven by fear or driven by love. And I think that a lot of the supposedly conservatives are driven by fear. As a matter of fact, I wrote a song that's called Fear Made Me a Republican. And it was initially about Don Imus, because I saw Don Imus, the older he got, he didn't know it, but he was becoming more and more Republican. Then I heard that Dennis Hopper was voting Republican.
Oh, no, Dennis Hopper. Was he even anything but stoned during the 60s and 70s?
Well, he must be stoned. He's voting Republican.
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
But and then when Ben Neidhorst Campbell flip-flopped and became a Republican, I that's when I wrote this song. So it's just, I think it's real.
You want to give us a couple of bars from your song, Bob?
Well, it starts out about Don Imus, so it's a little bit tedious to get started, but it's kind of like...
And then pick it up at the untedious part.
Yeah, well, I'll do the where it comes back on to Ben and Dennis Hopper. Is it's like, it's not just me and the GOP, Neidhorst and Hopper joined up with me. They got money, too, and want to keep it three.
because fear made them Republicans.
Oh,
fear made me Republican. I'm making all the money that I can. I ain't going to back no health care plan because fear made me a Republican.
Oh, very good. Thanks for calling, Bob. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Kevin on a cell. Kevin, hi. You're live with Enid.
Hey, yeah. I think the Republicans, you know, they have a chance when they start out. I think they're born with the same native intelligence, but through ignorance, they start adopting their views. And Mary Jane touched right on it with this whole issue with conservatives not being represented on college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you mean they're not smart enough to get hired for faculty?
No. Conservative ideology cannot survive in such an intellectually nutrient-rich environment. See, that the conservatism dies.
All right.
So there you go.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. 303-382-1150. Bill, calling from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I think you hit it really well when you talked about only seeing the world in black and white. And there's maybe something happens to the brain when it ages that it can't handle nuance like it used to be able to. If you listen to the conservatives at the Walmart down the street, if they're you can always tell when one of them is starting to lose an argument because they will badger a caller and pin them down with a yes or no question that can't necessarily be answered yes or no. I heard a caller one time talk about the need for universal health care, and the morning guy over there said, starts badgering her with this question. Do you want to live in a socialist country? Yes or no? You have to define that term, a socialist country like Canada or a socialist country like North Korea, but he won't let you define the term. It's got to be yes or no. I'd love to get on there someday and say, hey, Mike, I got a yes or no question for you. Have you stopped having sex with sheep? Yes or no?
Well, you're always going to be at a disadvantage in a situation like that. And a lot of people, I think a lot of people, the more money they get, the more they want to protect it, and so the more ungenerous they become. Although I had an ungenerous episode last night, which I hesitate to share, but I guess I will. I was on the 16th Street. No, I was a block or so over, and it was dark, and a guy approached me, and he said, I just need 35 cents. And it's only 35 cents, but I couldn't do it. I often give money if I have some extra change in my pocket, but I didn't want to open my wallet, and I felt vulnerable, I think, because he looked a little bit menacing. And then I thought later, gee, it was only 35 cents. Why wouldn't I do that? And here I am telling people to do something generous. So I need some guidance on that point.
Well, but see, that's a gray area. That's a new
It was only 35 cents. I really thought he was going to be fine, but still and all, how is it that I can't give him 35 cents?
Well, if you open your coin purse, you're vulnerable to...
Well, I felt like he was a little bit menacing, and I think I don't want to get into this. Here I am telling everybody, do something generous, and somebody is coming up to me in the street and said, can you give me 35 cents?
And I was
reluctant to do it. Sometimes I'll do it. You know, sometimes I'm a soft touch.
But that's my point. It isn't a black and white world. You're not always going to give the money or always not. You're going to assess a situation, and that's what conservatives can't do. Everything is either this way or that way, and the nuances, the gray areas in the middle, they can't deal with. You ran into a gray area.
I don't know if it was a gray area, although I like your version of it better than mine, Bill. Thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. And Matt calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Matt.
I just called. I agree fully that, you know, the more education you have, the more likely it is that you're to be liberal-minded and progressive. But my point was, I turned on the radio just as you were finishing a point about Bill Clinton. And I think that the obsession about Bill Clinton continues to this day, and certainly while he was president, because Republicans have proven themselves to be such brilliant politicians. They may not have the best policy, but their tactics have been so wonderful. And I think they were threatened by Bill Clinton because he was set, in addition to being extremely intelligent, he had the political game down cold, and that was the first Democrat, I think probably since Lyndon Johnson, who understood the way government works, the way legislation works, that sort of thing. So they saw him as a threat to carry out the sort of policies that they didn't like because he was charismatic and brilliant in that way. And so they were used to the Jimmy Carters and Walter Mondales, who really weren't that competent politically. And Clinton was the first Democrat in so long that really challenged their monopoly on that.
You may be right about that. I thought one of Clinton's chief pluses, he was brilliant at connecting with people. He was sort of, he could talk that post-therapeutic talk that people, at least in California, talk. And the line that's used, the cliche that's used to describe that is, I feel your pain or I share your pain. But it was something, that's just the cliched version of it. There's some way that he can come in there and he sort of connects with people. So added to a formidable intelligence or a formidable intellect, and somebody who had a great grasp of policy, who would, you know, in the lower octave, they always call that a wonk. I think that was, and good looking, you know, pretty attractive in his own way, that was a formidable package.
I think so, and I think the all you need to know about Republicans and conservatives is that look at throughout the last 25, 30 years, who they have been most offended by and most vociferous in their attacks on, and you don't see anyone else besides Clinton, and so it's not that Clinton was so corrupt is why they're obsessed. It's because he won two terms in the first.
He was very powerful, and it scared them. But and powerful in terms of a culture that a lot of the fundamentalists, the very very most conservative, were against. But I'm going to throw it out there because my friend made this observation: if voting Republican becomes associated with being a few IQ points short of a full deck, would that help in the next election? Matt, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. So if you're a Republican, if you are not embarrassed to say that you're a Republican, which would indicate that maybe you're not as bright as a Democrat, would that help in the next election? That's my question. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live, the fabulous Friday edition of right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. You both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, he's a happy guy. He just found out how to get the very lowest price on all his insurance coverage, home, health, life, and auto insurance. And he didn't even have to leave his home or office to do it. All he did was go online and click on netquote.com. He knew there were several quoting services to choose from, but he soon found out there is no quote like a NetQuote. They've been quoting lower rates from the nation's leading companies, saving insurance seekers thousands of dollars since 1989. You can trust NetQuote for reliable service that'll save you plenty. And best yet, the service is yours at no cost. That's right. It's free. Just click on netquote.com for your best net result. Great insurance at a super low price. You can be a happy insurance shopper, too. Click on netquote.com right now and discover for yourself that there's no quote like a NetQuote. That's netquote.com.
The Greeks have not lost their enjoyment of life's simpler pleasures. The pleasures found at a Greek taverna. The best authentic Greek food is Yanni's Greek Taverna, located at the Villa Monaco Shopping Center at the corner of Evans and Monaco. Throughout Greece, you'll find the traditional taverna or family-run eating establishment located in the main square or by the harbor. Denver has its own special taverna, Yanni's Greek Taverna. If you love to have traditional Greek family-style served food while celebrating a birth, a baptism, or a wedding, the Greeks will gather at the taverna to eat and dance, expressing their joy through eating baklava or drinking ouzo and watching the world pass by. Visit Yanni's Greek Taverna, or for more information, call them at 303-692-0404. Yanni's Greek Taverna offers outstanding authentic Greek food for lunch and dinner, serving Greek and international beer and wine 7 days a week. That's Yanni's Greek Taverna, where the ouzo flows freely at the corner of Evans and Monaco Parkway in the Villa Monaco Shopping Center. Plan your special event and party soon, catering included. Call Yanni's today at 303-692-0404. Again, that's 303-692-0404. Opa! AM 1150 KNRC and Radio Disney present Boobash at Heritage Square on Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. Bring out your family in costume to trick or treat throughout the square. This free event includes live entertainment from Radio Disney's Commotion Band and lots of candy prizes and games. You'll have a hauntingly good time at the Boobash at Heritage Square Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. For more information, go to knrcradio.com and click on events.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1228 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Okay, let's just say it the way it is. For a long time, and too long now, Republicans have been able to be called Republicans, but because they have a lot of money and they're always trying to protect it, and it makes them sound like solid citizens to call them the Republican instead of to call them what they really are, which is fearful, protective of their money, and so, and in addition, at no extra charge. There are a lot of people, by the way, and I've been saying this about Rush's audience, people who are not true conservatives but call themselves conservative, but well, what they really are is nasty, mean-spirited, small-minded, not too bright, but they found a socially approved name for themselves, label for themselves, and that would be conservative, and so I think they've hijacked the term from real conservatives. But it's possible we can say that about Republicans as well, that if you're a Republican, you are really not as bright as a Democrat. Let's just say it the way it is. And my producer, Joe, said that he had a friend who was head of the Young Republicans who's always used to say not all conservatives are dumb, but most dumb people are conservative. Am I being too... here we have Republicans who have more money than brains a lot of the time, and we have, with a straight face, considered them on the same par as Democrats, when in fact, Democrats, if you're a Democrat, you're just generally a few IQ points, quite a step up of IQ points above Republicans. You're smarter than Republicans in general, I think. But maybe I'm not right about that. 303-382. Maybe I'm too dumb to realize that Republicans are smarter than I am. 303-382-1150. Let's go with the phone. Steve on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing today, Enid?
I'm doing well, Steve.
Okay, I'm going to step up for the conservative Republicans. Let me give you a couple of anecdotical...
Anecdotical? Right away, you prove my point. I think Republican is now shorthand for we're trying to be socially acceptable and we're trying to have like a minimum room temperature IQ, but fall short even when we try to defend it.
And what you're talking about right now is exactly what the progressive movement has been saying for years. They immediately took Reagan, Bush, and now Bush Jr., and immediately the mantra is that they're idiots. So what you're trying to say?
Well,
right now,
I don't think that
new.
W has. He is so incompetent. I don't think anything he's done has been
a
success,
course,
and he's proved us right.
And if you'd have been on the radio in 1980, you'd have said the same thing about Reagan, and you'd have said the same thing about Bush. But let me give you a couple of examples, because I think it was the first caller was talking about policies, and I don't doubt. I spend a lot of time on political boards and discussing politics, and the Democrats that I deal with, for the most part, do understand policy, but see, they have this little thing. It's called style over substance. You guys are more important. You guys care more about how you feel about the issue as opposed to the reality. There was a Marine that was killed over the weekend in California. One of the Marines that was involved in the Jessica Lynch rescue. It was made national news. And when this guy was killed, her immediate reaction was that this is proof we need gun laws. It doesn't compute to you guys that gun laws, in this particular case, do you really think a murderer cares about gun laws? Do you really think that a murderer even goes to Walmart to buy their gun? But see, those are the things that you guys never see because it sounds better. It sounds.
Well, wait a minute. What's your argument, Steve? Your argument is that liberals or progressives are style over substance. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You guys are more encouraged and more... You need to have things that
Who marched in Selma? Who marched to overturn those horrible civil rights laws? I mean, who brought you Medicare? Who brought you Social Security? Who brought you some of the things? Who brought you electricity, the Tennessee Valley?
Hang on. If we're going to bring up Selma and that, then why don't we talk about who...
What have the Republicans done for us lately?
Civil
I mean,
rights
really.
Act of 64.
What have the Republicans done for us lately?
Cut my taxes. Fighting the war on terror.
They fought the war on terror. They're not fighting a war on terror. What they're doing is actually increasing terror. They're just giving you a public relations slogan that says we're fighting. Did you not see Rumsfeld's memo that's saying that we're having mixed results? And a lot of Republicans, by the way, are beginning to step up to the plate, even though it's really hard for them because they're at an IQ disadvantage. But they're starting to step up to the plate, and they're angry at Donald Rumsfeld.
Let me give you one more example, Enid. You guys on the left are just enamored with the UN. And right now the left is demanding that we bring the UN.
Do you know that there was a study that tells us that the UN's intelligence has been better than our own CIA lately?
Okay, well, I'm not going to dispute that because I haven't seen that report. But I will tell you this, Enid. You guys are the ones that want to bring the UN into the Iraq situation. The UN stood around while the millions of people were murdered.
I don't
want to
have
Rwanda.
I don't want to have a well. I'm not going to defend that, but I don't want to have a discussion about Iraq, because going into Iraq has been the single worst thing we could do to defend ourselves in the war on terrorism. It has put all of our resources into something that was never a direct threat, not at this time, and it has taken away from actually fighting terrorism, so that you're giving guys like Osama bin Laden all the opportunity in the world to regroup, and all those people who might have had their eyeballs out for him have now been redirected to Iraq, and you can argue very cogently that going to war against Iraq has made us much more vulnerable in the war on terrorism, not less vulnerable, Steve. 303-382-1150. Jay calling from Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. You know, actually, when this last guy says the Republicans are fighting the war on terror, I heard Bill O'Reilly admit to this statistic, that there's exactly one member of the Republicans in the House and Senate who has a family member in the United States military.
Who is that?
You know what? I don't remember the guy's name, but it's someone in the House of Representatives.
You know, it's maybe. I want to jump in
one.
Here. One, that's right. That's, if there were a draft, I'm going to tell you something, people would be in the streets and there would be all kinds of rioting, because the children of the powerful, the elite, the people running this country would be as vulnerable to serving in that bogus war as the blue-collar kids or the people who've made the military their careers.
There's one H of a lot more kids from the neighborhood of West High whose last names are Hispanic fighting in Iraq today than there are any of these white Republican elitists who won't join the military.
Well, they're happy to send everybody else's children into war, not their own. I want to say one thing on the culture wars. It may not be about values, cultural values, so much as it is about intelligence. It may very well be that the people who are the most conservative and the most fundamental are not quite as bright as the people who are more progressive. You could make that argument.
And I will go along with that, but I will tell you what is wrong with the Democratic Party. In this state, it is completely an elitist, snob, interested more in art museums and in culture and expensive cars than they are in the guy who works at the Walmart and people who need medical care. I've been to too many meetings as a precinct man where they sit there and they have no idea of actually, while they're having their wine and their brie, of what it is to actually work. And I've about come to the end of my rope in working in the Democratic Party in this state. They thing after thing, from workman's comp to Medicaid to salaries in this state, our party leadership has done zero. And all they can do is yap, but they don't ever get out and do a darn thing.
Well, then it sounds like the Lieberman syndrome. I mean, these are guys it's an inside-the-beltway mentality where they want to protect their own perks. But the Democratic Party became strong because it represented the people. It didn't really represent the elites. So if that's what the Democratic Party in Colorado is doing, then it's fate at the moment. What?
The Democratic Party leadership in this state is just Bush light. They're going to get beat. Campbell will win again next year because they will not ever get out and say an actual thing. And I tell you where else they're going to lose is immigration issues in the state. As this state becomes more and more anti-Hispanic, and my wife happens to be Mexican, those people are simply not going to vote, because the Democratic Party in this state, again, on that issue, is doing nothing. They're sitting there and taking this yap from people like Tom Tancredo and never actually going after him. And they need to wake up. If they're smarter, which I think they are, they better need to get their thumb out of you-know-where and get on with business.
Jay, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Amica Insurance. Eagle County's presiding district judge, Terry Ruckrigel, is taking on the Kobe Bryant case. In the regular assignment rotation system, the case could have gone to second-year judge Tom Moorhead, but Ruckrigel decided to take the case himself. Bryant will be back in court November 10th for an advisement hearing. U.S. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell has prostate cancer and will be undergoing radiation treatments. The senator's office says the cancerous growths are too small to warrant surgery, and they say the prognosis is for a full recovery. The 70-year-old senator plans to seek a third term next year. Lamar District Attorney Mike Davidson says no decision has been made on seeking the death penalty for a mother accused of drowning her two children. Rebecca Amaya is charged with two counts of first-degree murder for allegedly killing her 4-year-old daughter and 5-month-old son. Crews are battling wildfires wildfires in Southern California, and authorities in Northern California say their area is ripe for a similar outbreak. Rough terrain at the Camp Pendleton Marine Base near San Diego is making it very difficult for crews to extinguish the flames that are raging there. A Senate panel is preparing a blistering report on pre-war Iraqi intelligence gathering. According to the Washington Post, the report is said to use words like sloppy and inconclusive. In Spain today, international donors have pledged at least $33 billion to help rebuild Iraq. A police officer from Alabama has testified at the murder trial of accused Washington, D.C. area sniper John Allen Muhammad. The testimony concerned a shooting in Montgomery, Alabama, that has been linked to Muhammad and his alleged accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche skated all over the Edmonton Oilers last night, beating them 6-1. The Avs are headed to Nashville now for a game with the Predators tomorrow night. The 5-2 Broncos headed to Baltimore to take on the 3-3 Ravens this Sunday. Ed McCaffrey's out with an injured knee. Call now to discover why Amica is rated number one in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-24-AMICA. That's Amica. Amica Insurance. Auto Home Life Integrity. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1240.
This is Wally Frew of the Frew Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC News Time is 1241. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by KFC, and we finally kind of calmed down around the metro area. We do have some paving operations for you. Westbound Colfax at Teller. Also look for some problems. Westbound I-70 at Youngfield. CDOT crews there are doing some asphalt laying until 3. Right now at KFC, get 3 delicious crispy strips, mashed potatoes with gravy, and a biscuit for just $2.99. That's right, 3 crispy strips and a side and a biscuit, just $2.99. Now at KFC, I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, after a couple of warm days, we're now finally seeing some cooler temperatures. Partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon, 59, and then heading into tonight, partly cloudy, 27. For Saturday, a windy day, partly cloudy, 48, and it should be windy on Sunday. Also a partly cloudy day, but not quite as chilly with a high of 58 degrees. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 55 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1242. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Oh, Larry, what a wonderful spot for our picnic.
Isn't it? The weather's just right.
Did someone say picnic?
Hey, you're stepping on the goat cheese.
Oops, so sorry, but I heard someone say picnic. And as the anniversary fairy for the Denver Center Theater Company, I must respond to emergency calls for tickets to picnic. So are you going?
Going? We're having the picnic now.
Mmm, yummy sandwiches. But I meant the play picnic.
We're just trying to enjoy.
Oh, wine.
Did you want something?
Yes. I want you to picture a small town in Kansas. A single mom and her 2 teenage daughters get ready for the big Labor Day picnic, and then a hunky drifter blows into town, and the sexual tension ignites. But if you'd rather just eat goat cheese...
Oh, no, no, we'll go see picnic.
My work here is done.
Our 25th season is our best yet. Come celebrate at the Denver Center Theater Company with tickets to Picnic, opening October 16th. Call 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street staying entrenched in deep losses this hour. Right now, the Dow is down 100 points. The S&P 500 is losing 14. The NASDAQ is down 39 points. Analysts say rising uncertainty about where the stock markets are going right now, plus predictions for further weakness in the U.S. dollar, pushed up gold futures. The December gold contract rising $4 today, $17 an ounce for the week. to just shy of $390 an ounce. Motorola says 150 of its workers will be out of a job by early next year. The company announcing it will close its radio support center in Rockford, Illinois. Crane's business says 250 workers will be transferred to another facility in the state. Right now, Motorola stock is down 40 cents. Once again, the Dow is down 97 points. The NASDAQ is down 39. Decliners on the big board beating advancers by almost a 2-to-1 margin now. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1244 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And we're talking about an assertion that a friend of mine made who's pretty well connected politically, and he says he really thinks that Republicans are not as bright as Democrats, and that if finally that were spoken about in public, you would have people embarrassed to call themselves Republicans. Do you think first of all, is he right? And secondly, do you think that moment would ever come? 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. And now we have a listener who wants me fired because, wait a minute, let me see if I can find that. He thinks that this is the dumbest topic in the world, that I'm just boring, that my show is the most boring and dumb of all that we have here. This is from Mike, and he says, having a show about whether Democrats are smarter than Republicans is the lamest thing I ever heard. Out of all the topics to chat, how come she chooses this one? I wonder how you even let her keep her job. Signed, Mike. You must be a Republican. Probably a conservative, too. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to John, calling on a cell. Hi, John. You're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi.
First-time caller.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait.
Thank you.
That will start your weekend off in a very perky mode.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, I just not that I really want to comment on the debate between the intellect of Democrats versus Republicans, but I did want to point out from one of your prior callers, he had mentioned that it was the left wing liberals that wanted to bring the UN into the Iraq situation, and I just want to point out one more hypocrisy from the current administration, that if they truly wanted to continue the legacy, I think the primary legacy that George Sr. had set forth was the New World Order, and that all future actions would be directed through the United Nations, and now we have his son who's not doing a very good job continuing with that legacy. I don't know, but I just want to point that one more out to that prior caller.
Okay, John, thanks for doing it. 303-382-1150. Mary, calling from Broomfield. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Mary.
I just have a question and a comment. The question is, the person who remarked, made these remarks about the IQ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if that was their idea, their opinion, or are there any studies to back that up?
It was just his opinion, but the interesting study is the one from the University of California, Berkeley, which talks about what traits conservatives have. And typically they see things in black and white, and typically they seem to be more fearful. And if you see things in black and white, that argues for a view that doesn't encompass subtlety, it doesn't encompass nuance, and it's not as smart, I think. I think that's what it's really saying. If you see things in black and white, I think you're not as smart.
Okay, well, that leads into my comment. My comment is that I don't believe that it's IQ points that makes a difference in how people view issues. I believe it's education. And people who are not educated are black and white. They view the world and issues in concrete terms, which is what you're saying. And I agree with that. But I think to say it's IQ points isn't correct, because there are really smart people on both sides, and I think it's kind of irresponsible for that person to have said what he said. I think it's more
I'm
education.
I'm going to think about what you're saying, but I don't know if I agree if it's education. I know a lot of people who have advanced degrees from good schools, and they are very blinkered in their view of things. Sometimes I'm astonished.
Well, narrow-mindedness is different than being concrete and black and white. Narrow-mindedness is also not IQ points.
Let me ask you this question, Mary. Can you have a good education and still be narrow-minded?
Yes, I think so, because your opinions can get in the way of your education, your own personal, emotional, and background opinions. That's my belief.
Well, I think you're probably right about that. I think you can have a very fine education, and I think whatever your emotional components are will moderate whatever it is you've learned in school.
Okay, well, that's all I really wanted to say.
Thanks, Mary. 303-382-1150. Do some of you disagree? Some of you Republicans disagree with my friend's assessment that if you're Republican, you're simply not as bright as somebody who's a Democrat. You don't see the nuance. You don't see the subtlety. You're blinkered by a kind of narrow-mindedness, a kind of fear, and a kind of inability to see beyond black and white. 303-382-1150. Kevin, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, as far as your friend's opinion or study or what it is, first of all, let me say I do think this is a pretty lame topic. I really do. Unless he comes with some kind of facts or something, you know, to back up this deal. This is about as stupid as a Rush Limbaugh comment, you know.
What Rush Limbaugh comment was stupid?
About the Donovan McNabb. That's about as dumb as that is, because he had nothing to back that up. And there's nothing to back this.
What are you talking about? What's the Donovan McNabb?
The Donovan McNabb thing about there was social concern in the NFL about wanting a black quarterback to...
Okay, gotcha.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, so I think this is about as stupid as that.
I don't think so. I think that nobody says it. I think in this country you have a lot of programs. I think it speaks to a larger issue. And let me tell you what I think the issue is. Because he went on to say that he thought a lot of the hatred directed at Bill Clinton had to do with the fact that Bill Clinton was smart and therefore threatening to a whole segment of the population in this country. And if you think about it, you look at your workplace, you look at politics, you look at any place where there's really a bright person in there, and that person usually gets marginalized. It really doesn't inspire people's contempt. Now, if you're really smart, what you'll do if you're smart is not flaunt it in people's faces. But his thesis is, and I'm not sure I agree, but I think it's interesting enough to talk about, the culture wars between the reds and the blues in this country have as much to do with the difference in intelligence that it's the people who are the reds, he's alleging sort of by extension, are not as bright as the people who are the blues.
You know, I got to disagree with that only because of my experience. I used to be liberal years ago, and I've since turned the corner and went the other direction.
Why?
Because of some of the social issues. I'm black, and I'm non-educated. I've got a GED, but somehow, I mean, I work two jobs. I'm in between jobs right now. I usually get 4 to 5 hours in between jobs. And I've always felt that the liberals have always promised blacks so much, we're going to do this and that for you, and have never come through on anything. So me being a black
Kevin, you are so wrong about that. They did so much for the civil rights movement. Just a minute. I'm going to talk here just for a second, because I got to stop you cold on this. They did so much for blacks, the civil rights movement, that the Republicans did very little for blacks in this country. So if you're going somewhere, fine. I'm delighted that you have. But also look at the arc of a lot of people's lives who start out open, naive, trusting, friendly, and as the years progress, they become more closed down and they become more bitter. And in some ways, I think there's an analogy there between starting out life as a progressive, a liberal, and then you get more and more farbison, and you get more and more angry, and you get more and more bitter and cynical, and you want and more fearful, and you want to protect what you've got, and you become a Republican.
I disagree. Here's the deal. In the 60s, I was a kid, okay? I knew nothing about that, only except for what my dad and my mom told me. But this is what I have done. Nobody's given me anything. I haven't asked for anything. I don't want anything from anybody, okay? I just went out and did it myself. I went out, I busted my chops. I chose not to go to college. I did a lot of military time and whatnot. And I don't care who's in there, Republican or Democrat. I've always had to work two jobs. It doesn't matter who's in there. They've always chopped up my paycheck by taking my taxes and doing some stupid stuff with it. You know? Both sides have done it. It's not a government for the people, by the people anymore.
I agree with you, Kevin. It's a government and for special interests. But I think that you come into the arena years after the work of Democrats and you take it for granted because it's part of the water the fish swims in. It's part of the wallpaper. It's part of the landscape. But I think if you look back, and I do agree with you, I think both, you hardly sometimes can tell the difference between Republicans and Democrats. But I think if you look at the history, you'll find that Democrats have done more for you than Republicans. 303-382-1150, AJ calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, AJ.
If your friend's thesis is correct, how can you explain that in the 2000 election, Al Gore had an almost 5-to-1 advantage among voters who did not have high school diplomas?
I don't know. Maybe they were smart without having the credential to go along with it. You could be smart without having a GED or a college degree.
Let me tell you my thinking. If
you could smart, you could be smart enough to vote for Al Gore. Al Gore had other problems, though. I had my problems with Al Gore. He was bright, and he was probably the most prepared person to step. Prepared person to step into the presidency, but he had a lot of emotional problems as well, I think, and had a hard time relating to the voters.
Can I forward an idea for you?
Quickly.
That I think in many ways the Democrats do with intelligence like they do with many other things. They appeal to the extremes, like the very, very intelligent and the not educated at all. And the whole middle ground is where they're losing ground. And if you want to make a case for that, I don't have to because Zell Miller and Andrew Cuomo did yesterday.
Okay, AJ, I'm going to consider what you're saying. And let's head over to Greg Dobbs calling us. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Enid.
Tell me what's cooking.
I think your friend is out of her or his ever-loving mind. This is the most absurd thing I ever heard. If you don't know any very bright conservatives, then you're not getting out enough. I do. I don't like what they have to say. I don't agree with where they're coming from. But it has nothing to do with your intelligence quotient. How absurd.
I think it does, Greg.
Why?
What do you mean
you think it does? Well,
yeah,
maybe you're not as smart as you think you are.
Oh, okay.
Where do you think liberal and conservative ideology
Smart enough to do better in the ratings than you, Greg Dobbs.
I'm a talk show host, so you can't talk over me. Maybe they come from your background. Maybe they come from your parents and your nurturing. They come from all kinds of things.
Okay.
Some people are tall and some people are short. Would you attach an IQ quotient to them?
I think in general, I think one of the unspoken fundamentals here in the country and part of what's going on in the culture war is that I think that there is something. We're not talking about it. You know, I'm being slightly puckish, and you are so bright a man. You took it so literally, Greg, and I'm so surprised about that.
Well, you haven't explained it very well then.
Well, and perhaps you haven't understood it very well either.
That could very well be, but I have always maintained that if somebody doesn't understand what I've had to say, it's not because their ears are closed. It's because I haven't said it well enough. So go ahead and say it.
Well, I think that something that we haven't talked about in this country is that there's not only a culture divide, there's an intellectual divide in the country as well. And this is what I think he's talking about. He's being puckish. I'm being puckish. You're being very literal here and also very aggressive. What's this an attempt to do,
well,
Greg Dobbs?
Because I find it embarrassing. Somebody who purports to be so liberal turns out to be so narrow-minded with respect to the ability of conservatives to be smart, to be intelligent, even to be broad-minded. They just have a different approach than you have, and for the most part, a different approach than I have. Doesn't mean it's stupid. It doesn't mean they're stupid.
I think a lot of it is stupid. I think we're looking at a group of people, for example, in the White House, in this particular regime, that were touted for being so able, that were touted as having so much experience, and everything they have done has been more or less incompetent. Not every single thing, but most of the important things that have come out of this White House have come out of a kind of incompetence and a kind of blinkered mentality, and these are the people who have occupied high positions not only in government but in business, and they have lots of other people who are exactly like them, people who may have a lot of information but who have a distinct lack of wisdom. And wisdom, you will have to admit, Greg Dobbs, is a form of intelligence, even if you don't always have it.
You're absolutely right, but I have found from time to time, believe it or not, some conservatives have it. I would say furthermore that you're pointing at a small group of people, the cabal of leaders in Washington right now, and you're extrapolating from that the conservatives aren't as bright or as wise. I would go one step further. I think the people in the White House are frighteningly competent. Look at how much they've achieved with their low level of wisdom.
I will agree with you that they are frighteningly confident in the ability to market and in the ability to manipulate fear. But in the ability to actually legislate in a wise way that will make the country more whole, that brings us together, that demonstrates a great understanding of what it takes to run a country, I would say no.
And
they're great at marketing.
And from that, you come to the conclusion that your friend is right?
I think my friend has a really interesting point to make, and it's certainly worth a discussion, and it certainly got you calling in, and I'm delighted that you did it. So I'll remind people that you're on from 6 to 10 right here, Monday through Friday, when you can carry on that mantle, Greg Dobbs, on your own program and tell the world how wrongheaded I am. And I thank you.
I won't even bring it up.
And I thank you for calling. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Sharing ideas.
Scan ideas.
Email ideas.
Store ideas.
Scan ideas.
Email ideas.
Store ideas.
Move ideas.
The new Officio 2027 from Ricoh. The network scanning capabilities everyone's asking you for. Plus 27 crisp black and white prints or copies per minute.
Share ideas quickly.
The new Officio 2027 from Ricoh moves your ideas forward.
Ricoh.
How well do you? How well do you share?
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1259. Oh, my goodness. We're closing out the hour, so I don't think it's fair to take a call. We have many callers lined up, and you might want to comment on Greg Dobbs' unexpected grenade assault on moi, your radio goddess, 303-382-1150. But we have two more hours together on this fabulous Friday, so don't go anywhere. It's wonderful talk radio, the kind that you're not going to get at the Walmart across the way, especially from you-know-who on Hillbilly Heroin. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by BMW Motorcycles. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says a solar storm is hitting Earth today. Larry Combs of the NOAA Space Environment Center in Boulder says the rare storm has the potential to disrupt satellite communications and other power systems.
We're expecting a geomagnetic storm to hit Earth today, probably around midday. We're looking at kind of a strong geomagnetic storm, and the possible impacts from these are problems seen on power grids, voltage corrections, false alarms triggered on protection devices, things like that.
Combs says the storm could last several hours and up to many days, in fact. He says it's possible to see the solar storm with the naked eye, but advises against it because of the dangers of looking straight into the sun. In addition, NOAA says further major solar eruptions are possible over the next couple of weeks. A Louisville police car struck a 79-year-old woman this morning. She's listed in serious condition at Boulder Community Hospital. Police say Mary Danchez was at the intersection of Via Appia and West Pine Street about 7:20 when an eastbound patrol car driven by Officer Jay Browner hit her. According to police, Browner was driving at or below the posted speed limit of 35 miles an hour. U.S. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell will undergo radiation treatments for prostate cancer. This confirmed today by an aide for the Colorado Republican. Press Secretary Camden Hubbard says while the treatments are set to begin a week from Tuesday, the senator's prognosis is for a full recovery. That's because the cancerous growths are small, too small, in fact, to warrant surgery. The 70-year-old Nighthorse Campbell plans to seek a third term next year. Eagle County's presiding district judge, Terry Ruckrigel, decided to take the Kobe Bryant case rather than let it go through the normal assignment rotation system. Under the usual rotation, the case could have gone to second-year judge Tom Moorhead. DU law professor Karen Steinhauser explains why Ruckrigel may have substituted himself for Moorhead.
He may feel that there needs to be somebody for this trial who has as much experience as he has, rather than have a judge who I'm sure is very competent, but who may not have the kind of experience that he has.
Meanwhile, Kobe Bryant was back on the basketball court last night when the L.A. Lakers played the L.A. Clippers. Bryant says he enjoys the game atmosphere.
I like competing. I really do. I like getting after guys. I like our intensity on defense, how we were swarming around and making opposition uncomfortable. You know, it makes the game enjoyable when you're competing out there.
The next step in the legal process is an advisement hearing on November 10th when Brian may or may not enter a plea to the rape charge against him. Wildfires are raging in Southern California. Things could get worse before they get better. The National Weather Service says the weekend could see a return of hot Santa Ana conditions. That's when hot winds gust, spreading flames into adjacent brush. The fire near the Camp Pendleton Marine Base began 4 days ago. So far, 4,000 acres have burned. Thousands have been evacuated from their homes near San Bernardino. Weather conditions in the San Francisco area are making the Bay region susceptible to wildfires also. International donors today have pledged at least $33 billion to help rebuild Iraq. The funds were earmarked during the Iraqi Donors Conference in Madrid, Spain. The Coalition Provisional Authority says $25 billion of that is in the form of grants. Secretary of State Colin Powell and Treasury Secretary John Snow say they're pleased with the international pledges. The judge in the capital murder trial of suspected sniper John Allen Muhammad ended proceedings early today. Reporter Kathy Culpepper explains.
At the beginning of the trial of John Muhammad, Judge Leroy Millett of Prince William County, Virginia, which is in Northern Virginia, explained that he was going to let the jurors and everyone in the courtroom go home early on Friday, if possible, because of the long trip back to Northern Virginia. And Judge Millett wants to give them time to drive back to Northern Virginia before the big traffic rush begins on Friday afternoons here in the Hampton Roads area. Normally, traffic is described as a nightmare for people trying to leave the Virginia Beach area and head in the direction of Northern Virginia on Friday afternoons.
Before the recess, jurors heard testimony today about a murder in Montgomery, Alabama. That killing took place before Muhammad and his suspected accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, allegedly went on their shooting spree last October. Much of the nation resetting their clocks this weekend when daylight savings times ends at 2 a.m. Sunday. Clocks are not reset in Hawaii, parts of Arizona, and eastern Indiana. The idea for daylight savings time originated with Ben Franklin. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche hammered the Oilers last night, beating Edmonton 6-1. Avs will be in Nashville tomorrow night to play the Predators. Broncos go to Baltimore Sunday to play the Ravens. The Broncos are at 5-2 this season. They'll be without Ed McCaffrey, who's out with an injured knee. BMW Motorcycles lets you ride now, pay later with zero down, no payments for 90 days, and even makes your first three payments. Get 0.9% on certain models. Restrictions apply. See your BMW dealer for details. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, an ongoing feud between a woman's parents and her husband ended last week when her feeding tube was removed. The court-ordered removal of the feeding tube was upheld on numerous appeals over the objections of the Florida woman's parents and Governor Jeb Bush. The 39-year-old woman has been in a comatose state for nearly 13 years. Her husband argued that she wouldn't want to be kept alive by artificial means. Her parents said she was responding to voices and may have gotten better but just didn't show it. Doctors say the woman is in a persistent vegetative state with almost no hope to recover. So, is removing the feeding tube an act of mercy or an act of murder? What do you think? Join me, Greg Dobbs, and a panel of Coloradans to discuss this and more on Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Join the discussion online anytime on the Colorado State of Mind discussion board at rmpbs.org. But tune in Friday night at 8:30 for Colorado State of Mind only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC News Time is 106. Let's go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of KFC. We got a little lumber in the road. It's going to be southbound I-25 in the left lane at Colfax. Watch for some slowing through there while they try and get that up and out of the way. Got another problem, westbound I-70 at 32nd. They're doing some paving, so watch for delays up that way if you're heading towards the mountains. Right now at KFC, get three delicious crispy strips, mashed potatoes with gravy and a biscuit for just $2.99. That's right, three crispy strips, a side and a biscuit, just $2.99 now at KFC. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, after a couple of warm days, we're now finally seeing some cooler temperatures. Partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon, 59. And then heading into tonight, partly cloudy, 27. For Saturday, a windy day, partly cloudy, 48. And it should be windy on Sunday. Also a partly cloudy day, but not quite as chilly with a high of 58 degrees. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 55 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We've been having a lively discussion to the point where Greg Dobbs called in and steam was pouring out of his ears. A friend of mine made the observation, and he's pretty well connected and pretty smart, and he's had some pretty high level political jobs, made the observation that he thought, actually, when all was said and done, and the thing that no one ever talks about, is he thinks Republicans are less smart than Democrats. And I have long said that conservatives, a lot of people who call themselves not true conservatives, but a lot of people who lately call themselves conservatives, they're actually giving themselves a socially approved name, when in fact what they are is mean-spirited, small-minded, not too bright, nasty, and all those other wonderful adjectives. I just got an email from one of you, from Roger in Highlands Ranch. Roger says, my personal observation is that many who call themselves conservatives are not stupid. They just don't want to take the time and effort to keep themselves informed. How else can you explain the numbers of Americans who believe, despite all the evidence, there was a link between Osama and Saddam, or that we found WMDs? I personally will try and talk to conservatives, and their standard reply has to do with something like they believe in this or that, but they don't want to hear about or read anything that might force them to contradict their beliefs. So while conservatives aren't dumb, writes Roger, by any means, in fact, many are smart, and that is what makes them dangerous, but they're often unwilling to take the time and put the effort into looking at more than one side of the issue. Well, I think you can have, there are a lot of different kinds of intelligence. There are a lot of different kinds of forms of love. There are at least four or five. C.S. Lewis, the great philosopher, has written about them. There's friendship, and there's brotherhood, and there's romantic love, and there's spiritual love, and there are all kinds of love. Maybe as many kinds of love as there are snow in an Eskimo culture. But there are also different kinds of intelligence. IQ measures some kinds of intelligence and not other, and I'm not so sure how well. There is a lot of creativity that goes unmeasured. Some people who don't score well on SATs or IQ tests are very creatively brilliant, but it's another kind of intelligence. So if you're looking at the White House, for example, they're very smart at marketing their programs to get you believe in their half-baked ideas, but in fact their ideas still remain half-baked. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. The lines are full. I think there's one line open, 303-382-1150. Okay, it's gone now, but the lines will open up. And let's go to Joe on a cell. Hi, Joe. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I listen to you quite a bit, and most of the time I agree with what you're trying to say, but today it sounds like you're secretly working for the Republican National Committee, because what I've learned through most of my life is the quickest way to get people on the fence to jump to the other side is to tell them they're not very bright. And I'll tell you how they'll read it. They will read it as one of the complaints about the left is they claim it's an intellectual arrogance. And the way you sound today, and like I said, I listen to you all the time, is that's the way they're going to read it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, and I'm not accusing you of that, but after listening for a long time, that's the way it sounds.
Okay? Do you mean I'm going to drive people who are on the fence over to the Republican side? Don't they want to be considered bright? If the Democrats are actually smarter, don't you want to be with the smart? Even if you're a dope, aren't you smart enough to realize that you should ally yourself with the people who are brighter?
Hey, I'm from the East Coast, and I'm in Colorado now for the first time in my life, and it's a totally different world.
Well, what's the different? What do you see here that's different from the East Coast, for example?
It is much more conservative, and there is a distinct difference between the conservative and the liberal viewpoints. The viewpoint that you espouse, and which I tend to lean towards, that we're really all, you know, in this thing together, and you know, we've got to look at a broader picture. And I don't see that the conservative view is espousing that. And it is more of a this is the way things are, and it works for me. And why are you telling me I have to look at anything else? View, if that's a clear encapsulation of what I see of the two. And when you talk to people here, I agree with you. You get the impression that they either can't or won't take the time to look at a different viewpoint or other information that might contradict what they think.
If you have been a watcher of the Fox News Channel, and believe me, they are appealing to people whose IQs are at room temperature most of the time. I mean, even if they say fair and balanced, if you've got half a brain, you realize there's nothing fair or balanced about that coverage. The people who routinely watch that show believe in droves that we found weapons of mass destruction, believe that there was a link between Iraq and 9/11, believe that there was a link between Osama and Saddam. They are listening to it on talk radio, and I think these are people who believe that there's a liberal media, and how would they know? They don't bother to read the newspaper, so There's no way to have a discussion. I don't know how to have a discussion about it. When somebody calls me up, you can give me some clues. Anybody, I'm soliciting for clues on how to deal with callers like this. Call me up and tell me that there's a liberal media. They have no proof. They don't even read a newspaper. I mean, it's impossible. How can you even discuss it?
I know. I run into it at work every day because I talk to people like that all day long. And you give them the same information that you just gave, and I agree with you that you tell them that, that there's facts that contradict what they believe, and they will shut down on you a lot of times. I don't know how you handle that, but you don't tell them that they're...
It's not what I'm saying here, and this is what I've come to in just about in many, many areas of life. It's not about logic. It's not about the facts. It's what people will hire people for jobs. Those people may not do the job as well as somebody else, but they like them. So it's an emotional kind of hire. And I think a lot of the ideas that we hire in life, a lot of the ideas that we decide we want to believe in are equally based on the emotions and not so much on logic. And when logic and the emotions are confronted with each other, I think that typically the emotions win. And all you have to do to realize the wisdom of that sentence is to look at a friend of yours who's about to embark on a marriage with somebody you know it's going to be a disaster, but his logic has been completely overruled by his emotions.
I will totally agree with you on that. The whole emotional, logical thing is something I kick around a lot, too, and I think you're absolutely right. And I don't know how you overcome that either.
Well, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Randy on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Randy.
Hey, I think to answer the question, you really have to look at who does the policies of the Republican Party serve, and it certainly doesn't serve working class people. It doesn't even serve the soldiers that they lionize so much. So it just seems like there are people who are intelligent to vote for Republicans because the policies serve them, but then the rest of these folks are just kind of getting suckered.
Has the American public gotten so dumb that it doesn't realize that it's being suckered? Apparently that is the case.
Well,
apparently the changes in education have been so profound that that we have a population of people who are easily manipulated, largely manipulated by fear, and who don't realize that this is an administration not serving their best interests.
Well, we have a president who admits to not even reading newspapers to the point where he's personally surprised when people in foreign countries are angry at him. Like, I could have told him that.
I know. He goes to Australia, and they heckle him, and he's dismayed. He's got that caught-in-the-headlights look of a deer.
Well, you can see that they shelter him usually from that, and he's not smart enough or well-informed enough to know it. So their champion is dumb. But I just wanted to give you my slogan for the Republican Party. It's the party where the ignorant dance with the arrogant.
Thank you very much. That's good. 303-382-1150. Well, we're dumb enough to let him do it. That's the problem. Jamie, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First time I ever heard your show.
Wait a minute. Are you a first-time caller?
Yep.
All right, wait a minute. There it is, the kiss that will transform your life.
Okay.
The kiss of life.
I think a really good topic. It's nice to have a topic where, you know, if you have a boring topic where nobody can talk about, I mean, doesn't get that many people interested.
Well, tell it to Greg Dobbs. He's just bent out of shape. He's going to have another heart attack listening to this topic.
Yeah, well, you know, I like to take the opposite view of what you have. And the first thing I'd like to point out is three things, if I could. First off, when you talk about IQ, intelligence, and wisdom in here, IQ is basically the measurement of a person's ability to learn. Intelligence is a measure of how much they've learned. And wisdom is their ability to apply what they have learned. And you're kind of mixing all those in, and I think that's
I am mixing them all up, and the truth of the matter is, you know, we're being a little bit puckish here, but IQs, I'm not so sure if how much it really measures, because there are many people who are tremendously creative who probably score in a very average way, maybe even sometimes in a below average way on an IQ test.
Right.
But who can be a genius, and you know, sometimes there are people who are autistic, who can be a genius in some other facet.
And can't take the test, and their IQ is therefore measured very, very low.
Exactly right.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to comment on is the caller that before mentioned that Republicans, and I'm not going to say whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat, you can make that choice on your own, but that Republicans are closed-minded. And I really kind of think that someone that can say a general group that is closed-minded in and of themselves is closed-minded because they won't even listen to what that group has to say. If you won't listen to what a group has to say and now analyze it from even their point of view as to see whether it makes sense, if you can take the they're closed-minded. Are you yourself really even willing to accept what they say?
So are you saying that
if you're calling somebody else... If you're not willing to accept or consider what they say, are you yourself not closed-minded?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is that what you mean? I think closed-minded...
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying,
you're asking.
Is that possible? Yes.
All right. It may be possible, but let me just say something about being closed-minded. Being closed-minded has with it, I would say, a couple of qualities. First of all, it has with it an element of fear, if you think about it.
Yes, it does.
Because if you are not fearful, you would open your mind to entertaining other possibilities, but because you close it down there, you're scared of something. Either scared of something that's going to contradict your worldview, scared of knowing something that you don't want to know, scared that it's going to force you to act in a different way if you knew it, a lot of other things. So that argues...
That does come from fear. I will agree with you.
Yeah, so I think that argues for... But if you're asking the question, are you closed-minded to call a whole group of others closed-minded, that's up for discussion. Let's throw it out there. Let's see how people respond. There's an element of truth to that as well, Jamie.
And the other. Oh, now I lost my train of thought.
Are you calling from New York?
No.
Oh,
Pocono,
okay.
Colorado.
Pocono. Okay. Because
believe me, very few people even know where it is.
Where is it?
It's between Denver and Longmont.
Okay, because I saw something that looked like the Poconos here. And I thought maybe you're calling from New York. But it's a good question, Jamie, and let's see how people respond. I do thank you for calling. I hope you'll listen some more, call some more, and tell your friends. 303-382-1150. Eric calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good, Eric.
Long time I talk. First things first, I'm mad at you because you deleted my email to you where I linked the Ann Coulter doll.
How do you know I deleted? Why do you think I deleted your email?
Because my email said was deleted without being read.
That's not true. I did the printout.
Oh, that's my email came back.
Your email, yes, and we have your printout around. So you're gonna take your computer's word over mine, Eric?
It's never lied to me before.
Well, it just lied to you.
All right. This whole discussion reminds me of one of my favorite all-time sayings, and I missed the beginning.
Oh, so you're calling up? You're calling up to give me to rag on me? That I deleted your email, which is an unfair allegation. Yes. What's number?
Did you see the Ann Coulter doll?
Yeah, I did see the Ann Coulter doll, a slightly less hairy version of Michael Savage, as I like to say.
Cocaine Annie. Okay. This whole topic reminds me of one of my favorite sayings, which is while it is not true that all conservatives are stupid, it is true that most stupid people are conservative.
Well, that's the one that my producer, Joe Anderson, his friend was the head of the Young Republicans. Was it the Young Republicans or Young Democrats?
Who said that?
Purdue College Democrats. And the line was, not all conservatives are dumb, but most dumb people are conservative.
That's right. And that's by John Stuart Mill, probably the greatest philosopher of the century.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
So, all right. So it has a good provenance there.
Yes, very much. You've had like three great callers in a row. I just started listening just a couple of calls before Dobbs, and I thought he was going to, blow a gasket there on the phone with you or something.
Okay, well, we had 9/11 standing. We had the paramedics standing by.
What would you expect from Dobbs? I mean, he's the king of the on one hand, but on the other hand, he's a Joe Lieberman Democrat as far as I'm concerned. But he did make a comment that struck me, and that was he said something about, I guess he was challenging your assertion that this administration is not competent. And he said, well, of course they're competent. Look how much you've got done. And I guess both sides are true, but I wish somebody put the caveat in there when they give any kind of a claim for this administration's policies or what they push through, and that is that they've done it under the watchful eye of a barely viable media. And with any normal media, this administration would not have gotten through half the policies they've gotten through because citizenry would have been informed enough to know whether it be foreign policy or whether it be tax cuts or whatever. And I think if the populace would have been more informed, then the Democrats, who deserve some blame but not all of it, would have had more backbone. And
let me say something. You're bringing up a very excellent point, and let me say something about it. Why didn't the media? First of all, I want to make a correlation here. I think one of the reasons that Bush's approval ratings, W's approval ratings, are slipping so hugely and so steeply, because the media are finally beginning to question, and those people who are too busy to read newspapers, who rely on some of their favorite columnists or some of their favorite pundits to direct them in one direction or another, are beginning to wake up to it. And so I think you're right. There is a correlation there. Had there been better reporting? Why wasn't there better reporting? First of all, you have a media that is not unlike the kind of Joe Lieberman Democrat that you're discussing. These are inside the Beltway types who are becoming, or I'm sorry to say, at least this is what it looks like from the outside. They've become stenographers and careerists. Then you have the big media, this idea of liberal media. Forget about it. You have the big media controlled by all these large corporations, these large corporate entities. And if you want to get ahead in your job, you might, there's a maybe an unspoken assumption within the shop that you're working for that you're going to have to toe a certain line. And even if that's not the case, let's assume your beat is the White House. And let's assume you're one of the few who had the courage to criticize this administration. What they would do is they would have shut you out, and you would have then been rendered ineffective as a White House reporter, and you would have been replaced by your shop, by your media outlet, whatever that outlet is. And many reporters were not willing. First of all, they were willing to be hoodwinked, and they were not willing to put their jobs on the line like that. I don't know of any offhand. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'll think of them later. But I think your point is really well taken, Eric.
Well, I'll leave two quick comments, and I agree with you. The first is that as far as liberal media is concerned, if you want some excellent liberal commentary, I'll tell you now what I tell you every time I email you. You go on the Internet. That's number one. That's where all the brain power is. And number two, I think that one of the things that's happened to the media, and this has been a long, slow progression or depression, is that they've become more and more wealthy. And as their socioeconomic status has gone up, they no longer believe that their job is to inform the little person as much as it is to sort of keep the status quo going and not really rock the boat too much where they don't have to.
I think you're right about that, too.
Because think about it. Most of these people, I'm not talking about, you know,
they're going to the same dinner parties
exactly.
In Washington.
Exactly.
And Jimmy Breslin, whom I had on this program, said it very well. It used to be you might not even have a high school education, but if you were good and you were willing to work hard and the shoe leather and all of that, you really do the job. Now they come into the New York Times and other publications with degrees from our best Ivy League schools.
And they all want jobs hosting their own TV show on cable. I mean, look at MSNBC and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they
And some
for.
Of them hosting those shows are among the defrocked. And I'm thinking of Mike Barnicle, for one, who got fired off the Boston Globe because of plagiarism charges.
These aren't journalists. They're frauds. You know.
Well, a lot of what calls itself one thing is actually a fraud and is allowed to stand as not being called out as a fraud in this country and in this time, Eric. I thank you. Good observations. And I didn't delete your email.
Okay.
Without reading it first. All right. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. And let me just say something. You can email me, enid@knrcradio.com. I don't always respond because I can't. I get tons of emails. But I do look at all of them, and you can listen on the website. We have a fabulous website, www.knrcradio.com. Click on Air Hosts. You can find out who my guests are for next week. I'll tell you who they are as we continue.
Denver's only independent news and talk radio station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Now, he's a happy guy. He just found out how to get the very lowest price on all his insurance coverage, home, health, life, and auto insurance. And he didn't even have to leave his home or office to do it. All he did was go online and click on netquote.com. He knew there were several quoting services to choose from, but he soon found out there is no quote like a NetQuote. They've been quoting lower rates from the nation's leading companies, saving insurance seekers thousands of dollars since 1989. You can trust NetQuote for reliable service that'll save you plenty. And best yet, the service is yours at no cost. That's right. It's free. Just click on NetQuote.com for your best net result. Great insurance at a super low price. You can be a happy insurance shopper, too. Click on NetQuote.com right now and discover for yourself that there's no quote like a NetQuote. That's NetQuote.com.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
This Friday,
Saturday, and Sunday, the Colorado Symphony Orchestra presents violin superstar Midori, performing Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto and more. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 24th, 25th, and 26th.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Here's your Mai Tai, sir.
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
128 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And right now, some of you have called in. You're having the lines are full. They're going to open up. So as we go through caller after caller, the lines have been full all day, and we hope that they'll continue to be full. I love when we have a wonderful discussion, as I think we're having here, a bracing and spirited discussion. But the power utilities are bracing for a solar storm, and it's happening apparently right now. So some of you have called in. You're having problems with cell phone reception. I don't know in what other ways it might manifest, but Colorado Power Utilities are taking precautions against possible disruptions today from a geomagnetic storm in space spawned by a giant eruption of gas on the sun. Federal science officials in Boulder have been in contact with power companies, which are taking steps to avoid voltage problems and blackouts that could be caused by the storm. We will be watching our transmission system very closely 24 hours a day. We haven't had any hits yet, and this is a spokesman for XL Energy who said, but satellites, pagers, cell phones, and electrical grids could be affected, and I guess we're in the middle of it right now, by a powerful stream of energized gas and particles from the sun. It's called a coronal mass ejection. It is expected to reach the Earth at about 1 o'clock Mountain Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, and Eastern Time, and its effects could last 12 to 18 hours, according to space weather forecasters. And sometimes when these things are affect us, it's hard to buy gas because when you pay for the gas, it's via, or the pumping has to do with satellites. So I think that's sometimes affected too. If I'm not mistaken, maybe I am mistaken. You'll correct me if I am mistaken. Next week, we're going to be joined by Ann Garrels, NPR reporter, and also Nigel Hamilton, who has written a very controversial biography of Bill Clinton. His one on JFK was more scholarly, uncovered new information. The one on Bill Clinton has been reviled as being too gossipy and relying too much on old rehashed sources. But he's an interesting writer. He's English, has had a good education. And this is exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about whether the conversation we're having is whether if you're a Republican and conservative, you're less bright than if you're a Democrat and you're progressive. A friend of mine who's well-connected, has been in political life for a long time, makes the observation that in his experience he thinks that Republicans are dumber than Democrats. What do you think? 303-382-1150. Rick, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, Rick.
I'd just like to give you a few Census Bureau facts from the 2000 election.
Okay.
Of the high school dropouts that voted, 80% voted Democratic. And of the college degree people, 65% voted Republican. So I think your argument holds no water.
It may be that our degrees are meaningless.
Well, I mean, you got to just.
I mean, you know a lot of dummies who have advanced degrees, don't you? Just because you have a degree doesn't mean you learned any. It doesn't mean that you're wise. Maybe you have a degree. Maybe you know the facts, but do you know the substance?
Well, I think that statement is idiotic, that one group of people is dumber than another group. That's asinine, Enid.
You think so?
Absolutely.
You don't think it's one of the taboos in this country. We're not supposed to talk about it. We have a lot of programs for remedial to bring kids up to speed, but we have very few programs for the gifted. And there's something about an egalitarian society that doesn't want to focus too hard on the gifted. And really, it's the gifted that take us out of the ordinary and help us to make great leaps as a society. But for some reason, there is a taboo about it in this country.
And according to your news report, I believe it was yesterday, the day before, President Bush's approval rating is up 5% from the 51%. So that's not.
Well, on one poll, he's up, and on another poll, he's not. So it depends on the poll you're looking at. I take it you're a Republican, Rick?
I vote issue by issue. I don't necessarily vote one group or the other.
Okay. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Joey, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid.
Hey.
Hey, I just want to find out what's your definition of closed-minded?
Well, tell me what the point is that you're trying to make.
Well, at some point, everyone.
I think closed-minded is sort of self-explanatory, but.
No, because you don't agree with a lot of people, I'm sure, on certain things. Does that make you closed-minded?
I don't like to think so, but maybe sometimes I am.
Is it just people who don't agree with you are closed-minded?
No. Okay. No, not just that.
It just seems that you hold a standard to others, and it seems to Republicans
that I don't always stand up to myself. You mean? Is that
Correct.
What you're saying?
Correct.
I don't like to think of myself as closed-minded, but on some issues, I suppose those issues are for me settled. Other people might think that there's still a conversation to be had about it. If you want to call me closed-minded, you can on
you
some
can
of that stuff.
You always have conversation, but you don't always have to agree.
I don't know.
If someone doesn't agree with you, they're closed-minded.
No. I don't think that if they don't agree with me, they're closed-minded.
So
just sometimes, but not always.
So how do you judge that?
What? Tell me. How would you define yourself, Joey? Do you call yourself a Democrat, a Republican, a conservative, a liberal?
I'm a conservative, and I don't agree with a lot of people, but they can do whatever they want.
Okay.
Well, then maybe
you're a real conservative. There are people who are people who call themselves who are conservative, who are closed-minded, who are small-minded, who are nasty, who are petty, who are mean-spirited.
Oh, I'm sure you can find that in any party.
Yeah, but they seem to coagulate in.
I think you see it more in a party that's opposite of what you believe, but
no,
I see it the other way around.
Okay. Anything else?
No, it just seems like you know, liberals. It seems are the only ones able to poke fun at people. You guys watch every. You know, word that a Republican says, and then you guys lambaste them for something they said inappropriately or incorrectly.
Oh, wait a minute. Rush Limbaugh is not, by anybody's description, a liberal, and all he does and has made a career out of poking fun. So that one's not going to... No, that's not going to fly. That's not at all going to fly. 303-382-1150. Ed, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Ed.
There's another alternative to the dumb or intelligent, and that's crazy. And I think Ann Coulter's a good example of that for a lot of Republicans. And I was wondering if you read the Boondocks comic strip in the Post?
I don't.
Well, maybe you should get a couple of past copies, because the main character in there is insinuating that Ann Coulter has an Adam's apple and therefore is a man in drag. And ever since I read that strip, I've really gone back and looked at pictures of her, and, man, I think they might have a point there.
Ed, thanks. 303-382-1150. There is a line open, 303-382-1150. We're having a discussion about liberals and conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, who's brighter, who's not so bright. As we continue, we'll be taking your calls. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150. 1:35, time to check into the KNR newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores and Pringles. A 79-year-old woman is in serious condition at Boulder Community Hospital after being struck by a Louisville police car this morning. According to police, the officer, Jay Browner, was driving at or below the posted speed limit of 25. Judge Terry Ruckrigal will be the judge hearing the Kobe Bryant case. He's Eagle County. County's presiding district judge and decided to take the case rather than letting it go through the normal assignment rotation system. An advisement hearing is the next step in the legal process. That's scheduled for November 10th. Colorado Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and will be undergoing radiation treatments. His office says the growths are small and will not require surgery. The senator is expected to make a full recovery and plans on seeking a third Senate term in 2004. Wildfires tearing through parts of Southern California are forcing hundreds from their homes. The top priority is the Grand Prix fire in San Bernardino County. It has already blackened more than 4,000 acres and is only 17% contained. France is still talking tough about Iraq. The French foreign minister repeated once again that Paris will not commit troops to Iraq to help relieve U.S.-led troops serving there. In a related development, Secretary of State Colin Powell is expressing pleasure at the response of the international community, which has pledged $33 billion to help rebuild Iraq. John Allen Muhammad's sniper murder trial has recessed for the weekend. Prosecutors tried today to link the defendant and his alleged accomplice to a fatal shooting in Alabama shortly before the D.C. area sniper shootings began last October. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche skated all over the Edmonton Oilers last night, beating them 6-1. Avs are headed to Nashville now for a game with the Predators tomorrow night. The 5-2 Broncos are headed to Baltimore, and they'll be playing the Ravens, who are 3-3 this Sunday. Ed McCaffrey is out with an injured knee. Pringles reminds you that once you pop, the fun won't stop. At Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores, large cans of Pringles are $1.29 or 2 for $2. Pop into Diamond Shamrock and let the Pringles pop out. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Amica Insurance, and we've got a problem southbound I-25 at Spear in the left lane. Watch for two cars involved, really tie in traffic up through the Central Valley and into the north end. We also have a problem westbound I-70 at the 32nd and Youngfield Street. There's some construction there. One more accident for you, northbound I-25 at 120th, four cars involved. Call now to discover why Amica is rated number one in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-24-AMICA. That's AMICA. Amica Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Integrity. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy and quite a bit cooler this afternoon with a high of 59. It stays partly cloudy tonight down to 27. Saturday, kind of a chilly day as the winds really pick up. Partly cloudy with a high of 48. And again, we're looking at a windy day Sunday, but a dry day, partly cloudy with a high of 58. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yes, partly cloudy, 55 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you ready for winter? Ready for the freeze-thaw cycle we go through every winter? Or maybe I ought to say the freeze-thaw cycle your home goes through. This is Greg Dobbs saying that if you want to protect your home from that cycle, or for home remodeling or handyman jobs as well, call Ironclad Painting, which uses premium paint from Benjamin Moore. It's a family-owned business that's been here in Metro Denver for more than 20 years. You don't stay in business that long unless you're there for your customers, and unless you guarantee the quality of your work. Ironclad does. Everything is guaranteed for 5 years, some materials for life. You can trust Ironclad Painting. So protect your home with Benjamin Moore premium paints by calling Ironclad. An estimate won't cost you a penny. Here's the number, 303-347-8099. Again, 347-8099. Please tell them Greg Dobbs said to call. 347-8099. Ironclad Painting, home of Benjamin Moore premium paints and the Ironclad guarantee.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stock market continues to bleed inside the final hour of trading. Dow Industrials now down 81 points. NASDAQ is losing 35 points. That's 2%. The S&P 500 now down 11 points. Why the losses?
There's some disappointment. For example, in the case of Microsoft, Merck, where the investors are seeing some disappointing trends within their revenue recognition or the size of the revenue growth, again, causing a sell-off. So this is to be expected with a market that has been so strong to this point.
Joe Battipaglia is Chief Investment Officer at Ryan Beck & Company. And speaking of Microsoft, it remains the busiest stock of the day and the biggest loser on the Dow. Off over $2 now, or 7% on concerns over the company's growth prospects. But they're popping corks today at Robert Mondavi after the company posted earnings above expectations, even raised its forecast. Analysts say Mondavi enjoying new momentum. The shares are up $2.50. Again, though, the Dow is off 71 points. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
142 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. Clearly, we've struck a nerve here today. We start out the conversation by talking about a friend's assertion who's well-connected and politically active that he believes that Republicans are actually dumber than Democrats. And so we start out with that. Are conservatives dumber than progressives and liberals? And we have had nothing but a full board of phone calls all the way through, inspiring even Greg Dobbs to call in practically purple with rage. I would say, Greg, take it on your own show and get some phone calls on it and discuss it there. It's certainly something I think we have here is a culture war. We have a red and blue. It isn't only about culture. I think it's also about intelligence. And that's very rarely spoken. I think one of the great taboos in this country is that we are more egalitarian than we really are, and that has to do with intelligence. And years ago, Roman Huresca, who was a congressman, I think, from Nebraska, thought that there should be scholarships for the mediocre since there were scholarships for smart kids. You can have an advanced degree. You can have high SATs. And you might not be that smart at all. And there are probably as many different kinds of intelligence as there are kinds of love or forms of snow if you happen to be an Eskimo looking at the nuance, the gradation of forms of this, is and that. But I have to say that I'm getting tons of emails here. I'm getting emails from people telling me, is this the best I can do? Let's see if we can. Let's go look at that one from Bill. He's saying, Enid, I'm a sad and pathetic woman. Is this the best I can do? And then others who think this is a great thing to discuss. I think it's a really good thing to discuss because I think there are more than simply cultural differences at play here. 303-382-1150, the lines are full, but they will open up. Thomas in Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, this is kind of typical of what we've come to expect from Democrat Party and Democrat operatives like yourself. It's ad hominem attacks.
You know, wait a minute. Let me get you straight right now. I'm not a Democrat. And actually, if you want to speak correctly, Thomas, it might be a stretch for you. It's Democratic. I'm not a Democratic operative. So just so that the record is straight here.
Nevertheless, that's all we hear is ad hominem attacks. The biggest argument they
And what does ad hominem mean exactly? What does that mean? What does an ad hominem attack mean?
It's a personal attack. It's calling people stupid because you're bereft of ideas. You haven't got anything to offer. All the Democrats say is the White House is stupid, the Republicans are dumb. Why don't they come up with some ideas that'll work? Why don't they come up with some plans that are actually viable instead of all these ridiculous attacks like you're engaging in today?
So you have some wisdom you want to share with us here? Other than to call up and call me names, can you define ad hominem?
Didn't call you names. I said you're engaging in ad hominem attacks.
Can you define?
Yes, I will if you'll stop talking over me, which you do frequently. Whenever somebody is making a point that makes you look ridiculous, you simply talk over them.
Uh-huh.
You shout them down and you cut them off.
Uh-huh.
You'd be losing your argument.
All right, you want to define ad hominem since you really called up to attack me, and you pretending that you want to really talk about the topic. Why don't you define ad hominem for us?
It is the topic. The topic is you brought it up.
No. You really called. You know, Thomas, if you really wanted to be honest, you're awfully transparent. You called up to attack me, but you're pretending it's about something else. So you know what? You reveal exactly the stupidity that I've been talking about. 303-382-1150. Gary calling from Evergreen. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
I've actually thought about this quite a bit, and I was kind of excited when the topic came up. Intelligence has something to do with it, but it's not the bottom line, I don't think. I think the bottom line is more like a thing of heart, a consciousness, how conscious a person is. I'm a meditator. I've been meditating for 30 years. Before I started meditating, I was kind of a redneck. I just as soon see somebody shot for, you know, something silly as anything. And then after I started meditating, actually before I was meditating, I thought the hippies in the 60s were kind of like petty and useless, you know, just complaining about something that didn't exist. But then after I started meditating, I started seeing that, wow, they really do have a legitimate beef. And as I continued, and then I gather friends, and most of my friends are meditators, and
so are you talking about a kind of intelligence that a deeper you have access to a deeper intelligence than what we're calling, you know, just the usual IQ points or SAT scores or whatever?
You could call it that. You know,
so we're talking about a lot of different kinds of intelligence. And so what you're talking about is a distinction between people who have heart, who are maybe more conscious than other people, who might have an advanced degree in this or that, but not particularly conscious, and not particularly people who have generous hearts.
Right. Yeah, there's extremely intelligent people who have no heart. And then there's really stupid people that have a lot of heart.
Okay. All right. So can you make a generalization about Republicans and Democrats?
Yeah, I'd say one of the things I've observed in my thought process is about it.
Yes.
Democrats, and I don't even like to use the word Democrats anymore. I like to use the word progressives. Are much more heartfelt. They're much more compassionate towards other human beings and life in general, like planet Earth even. I mean, I see planet Earth as a living being. And the most hardcore Republican or conservative is like they look at me like I've got lips growing out of my forehead when I'm something up like that.
Gary, thanks for the call. 303. I think he makes a really good point. I think that, Tom, calling from Denver, I think the point that you can be very dumb and have a great heart, you can be very smart and have no heart at all, and having heart is a form of intelligence. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi. Great topic.
Thank you. Not everybody agrees with you today, Tom.
Well, I know. I'm usually a contrarian anyway. But I do.
But the lines have been full for the whole show, so apparently we have tapped a nerve.
Well, yeah, it's a sensitive topic, I'm sure. But I tend to agree. I think it's a very complex topic. But I do tend to think that people that are not willing to consider all sides of an argument are less smart, and I think conservatives tend to do that more than liberals. And I want to give one concrete example. You know, the whole effort by conservatives to break down the wall between church and state that has existed in this country for, 200 plus years, ignores 500 or 600 years of European history in which you had religious wars, martyrdom, the Inquisition. Do we want to go back to that? And I think by them just making these blanket statements that we were founded on, Christian values and so forth, is just to ignore the reality of the issue.
I'm with you on that, and I thank you for pointing it out. 303-382-1150. Louise calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I did not take your question as literal as our darling Greg did, but I'll tell you what, you did get me to thinking. And one of your callers was giving statistics of the Florida voters, the percentage that were well-educated, and it was much higher than the Democrats. But I think as he gets older and wiser, hopefully he will realize intelligence has absolutely nothing to do with education. I judge a person's intelligence by their curiosity and how fluid their mind is, and maybe to make adjustments and changes in their thinking as they get older. And this, I do not think the Republicans have the capacity to do.
Well, certainly, I mean, we can't say all Republicans, but I think also one measure of intelligence would be how good are your decisions. There was a writer, and he worked for a time for the New York Times, and I'll think of his name. Daniel Goleman is his name. And he wrote a book called Emotional IQ. Louise. And you know, making good decisions, not simply you know, just good life decisions, mm-hmm. is also a form of intelligence.
Right, because learning by rote, you know, whether it be the chairman of the RNC or Rush Limbaugh or whoever, telling them this is what you will believe today, this is your argument for the day. And of course, we can't say all Republicans are like that. But I've become such a political and news junkie that this is, you know, my impression of what is happening with the Republicans. They repeat what they're told, and they never can think outside the box.
I think there's one other thing that has caused a lot of people to become Republicans. For a long time, the Republican Party was seen as a step up socioeconomically, that the Democrats were blue-collar, a lot of immigrants in the Democratic Party, and as soon as you made a few bucks and you wanted to protect it and pay fewer taxes, less tax, you became a Republican. But I think what we have now is a perversion of what the Republican Party may have stood for at one time. And I think and again, it's like what I've said about Rush's ditto heads. A lot of people who are mean-spirited, petty, nasty, and worse have found a more socially approved label by calling themselves conservatives.
You have hit it right on the head. I think that is absolutely true.
Louise, thanks for calling. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You know what? I want to say something. The Wall Street Journal today is reporting on a phenomenon. We have seen the book club phenomenon where a lot of people get together, usually women, but men and women, getting together to discuss books, and that has really been taking off across the country. Well, now they have dispensed with the books, and people are getting together, and I think this is really a good sign. They are getting together just to discuss interesting, important, serious topics. This is a function that talk radio has taken on. And think about it. How many of your friends do you talk about this kind of stuff with? But what we have here is a community of people who are really interested in these kinds of ideas, and we can talk freely with each other. We can disagree as much as you want. You're always free to call and disagree. But this is the place where we discuss stuff that matters. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Mendota.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Mendota.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Mendota. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Wildlife Experience Museum will host Trick or Treat Off the Street, a safe and fun Halloween celebration on Halloween night from 5:30 to 8 p.m. The party will include scary stories, creepy crafts, and numerous candy stations. The event is free for kids 4 and under, $2 for kids 5 to 12, and $4 for adults 13 plus. The Wildlife Experience is located at Lincoln Avenue and Peoria, 1 mile east of I-25. For information, go to thewildlifeexperience.org.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the 3-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. Oh,
This is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1:56 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We have one more hour with each other. Let's go right to the phones. Joan, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Enid. Well, I'm wondering if this cosmic storm is maybe what set Greg Dobbs off.
Well, there's a good theory.
Well, I was surprised to hear him, but you know what? I admired him making the phone call, and it almost, in my mind, proves your point. I like Greg Dobbs a lot. I think he's incredibly intelligent, but you tell me a conservative talk show host that would have the courage of their own convictions to call another conservative talk show host, especially on their own station, and argue, you know, defend a Democrat.
Well, let me see. I'm trying to think.
Did I say that right?
I'm not quite getting the point. I like the part about the solar flare setting off Fred Dobbs. You may be onto something there. We'll have to ask him.
Yeah, the point I'm trying to make is the ability of liberals to think for themselves.
Well, I think one of the reasons that liberals are called wishy-washy is because they see so many different possibilities that sometimes it's hard to come to a decision about any one of them.
Yeah.
So if you see too much, sometimes you're not as if you see the world in black and white, you're so happy. It's easy for you to come to a decision on something. And then you march forwardly ahead, blinkered completely. But if you see a lot of different possibilities, you see the nuance, you see the subtlety, and you see that it's not so clear-cut an answer. I think that's maybe one of the reasons. Joan, thanks so much for calling. 303-382-1150. Michael, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, as I told your call screener, I've listened to your station about 2 minutes, and I listened to the meditator give his rendition of the world. And, it just goes to show you where you liberals think that you're morally superior than people. And that's, it's incredible to me. And it just goes to show you why
Rush Limbaugh
is so right about you. And he's got you guys nailed.
Well, how would you know what he's right about? I mean, he's high most of the time. He's suffering from the very name that he bears, which is he's having a rush. But how do you talk about a guy who thinks he's so morally superior like Pat Robertson, who is sitting around praying for the Supreme Court to drop dead and for there be a nuclear device that's detonated in the State Department? How do you defend that guy?
Somehow, if we don't agree with your way of thinking.
No, you're not answering. Michael, you are ducking the question, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to duck you because we're out of time in this hour, but we have one more hour together. Don't go anywhere. One more hour of vibrant conversation right here on AM 1150 KNRC. It is the Friday, fabulous Friday, edition of Enid Live as we continue more. You can join the conversation, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to AM 1150.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by your greater Denver area Toyota dealers. Solar flares are causing a geomagnetic storm on Earth today. Larry Combs of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Space Environment Center says this is a rare event.
This storm is coming at a time in the solar cycle that is actually very late for this type of activity. We're about 3.5 years past our solar maximum period. This is kind of a rare event, and it is coming from a rather large solar region on the disk. That comparison to the Earth size, you could probably put about 10 Earths inside this region.
Cone says the storm will last for a while.
This activity seems to be prolonged. It's not something that just doesn't hit and then go away immediately. A magnetic storm can last several hours and actually continue for several days.
The storm, which is coming from a sunspot cluster that, as Combs says, is about 10 times the size of Earth, can affect radio transmissions, GPS systems, cell phones, satellite transmission, and power grids. The solar activity is said to have developed quickly over the past few days and is reportedly among the biggest clusters seen in a long time. Eagle County's presiding district judge, Terry Ruckrigal, is taking on the Kobe Bryant case. In the regular assignment rotation system, the case could have gone to second-year judge Tom Moorhead, but Ruckrigal decided to take the case himself. DU Law professor Karen Steinhauser says Ruckrigal may have decided that it's appropriate for him to take the heat this case will bring.
He may be doing it as a favor to the other judge, just to ensure that, since he is the presiding judge, he can take the responsibility for everything that's going to happen on this case.
Meanwhile, Kobe Bryant was back on the basketball court last night when the Lakers played the Clippers. Lakers forward Karl Malone says there is no reason that Bryant shouldn't be playing basketball right now.
These bonehead guys sitting back in the studio said he shouldn't play. Them be the same guys want to interview him, and I tell him right now, we know who they are, the hell with them, and you know who you are. This is what this man do for a living. Why, he shouldn't be smiling. You know, he's with his family, and we're going to get through this. And these people talking about he shouldn't play, I say the hell with them.
Bryant will be back in court November 10th for an advisement hearing. Colorado Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell will begin radiation treatments a week from Tuesday. He's been diagnosed with prostate cancer, although his office says because the cancerous growths are small, he won't need surgery and expects a full recovery. The 70-year-old senator plans on seeking a third term next year. California's Grand Prix fire has been raging out of control since Tuesday, and the smoke and ashes are now blanketing much of Southern California. Steve Gonzalez has this update.
Firefighters here are battling the fire, low humidity, the heat, the high winds, and the dry brush, and there have only been minor injuries to three firefighters. One resident received some burns to his arms and his hands, and although officials can't say for sure, they think the fire, which is burning under some Edison power lines, may be the cause of a blackout in and around the Montclair Plaza. The cost of fighting this fire is already up around $2 million, and there's no containment in sight, so we know that number is going to more than double. In Rancho Cucamonga, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
International donors came through today pledging at least $33 billion to help rebuild Iraq. The funds were donated during the Iraqi Donors Conference in Madrid, Spain. The Coalition Provisional Authority says $25 billion of that is in the form of grants. Secretary of State Colin Powell says he's pleased that other nations have come forward to help with Iraqi reconstruction. France, meantime, is still refusing to get on the American bandwagon for helping out in Iraq. The French foreign minister says her country will not commit troops to post-war Iraq. John Allen Muhammad's murder trial for last fall's sniper shootings in the Washington, D.C. area has recessed for the weekend. The first week of the trial saw Muhammad represent himself briefly, a power failure that closed down the courtroom for a day, and a testimony from an Alabama lawman. A police lieutenant from Montgomery told the jury today that he recognized Muhammad's alleged accomplice as the man who'd gotten away after a fatal shooting just days before the D.C. area sniper attacks began. Consumers are going to have to pay more for their steak soon. Wholesale prices have risen, and the higher prices will soon be at the local butcher shop or supermarket. Economists at the Department of Agriculture say American cattle prices are at a record high. A year ago, choice Nebraska steers sold for $64 per pound. Today, it's just per 100 pounds, rather. Today, it's almost double that at $116 per 100 pounds. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche got even with Edmonton last night, beating the Oilers 6-1. The Avs take on the Predators in Nashville tomorrow night. It's the Broncos versus the Ravens Sunday in Baltimore. The Broncos go into the game at 5-2. Quarterback Danny Cannell is listed as probable for the game, but he's now come down with the flu, so the job could fall to Jarius Jackson. Toyota owners win a $10,000 American Express branded gift card, no purchase required. Buy an oil and filter change, battery and brake inspection, plus tire rotation for $35.95 through 10/31. See participating dealers for details. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. Next, KNRC News Time is 2:05.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of BMW Motorcycles, and we're trying to clear that accident southbound I-25 at Spear, still in the left lane, so you're going to watch a major jam heading into the North Valley, so watch for that. Northbound I-25 at 120th, watch for a bit of a problem there due to a four-car accident. BMW Motorcycles lets you ride now, pay later with zero down, no payments for 90 days, and even makes your first three payments. Get 0.9% on certain models. Restrictions apply. See your BMW Motorcycle dealer for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy and quite a bit cooler this afternoon with a high of 59. It stays partly cloudy tonight down to 27. Saturday, kind of a chilly day as the winds really pick up. Partly cloudy with a high of 48. And again, we're looking at a windy day Sunday, but a dry day. Partly cloudy with a high of 58. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we have had a really vibrant conversation going, which I think has apparently hit a nerve because the lines have been completely full throughout the whole show. And let me tell you what it is. It began this way. It began because a good friend of mine who's pretty well connected and pretty high up politically and has been an astute and acute observer of Democrats and Republicans through the years, conservatives and progressives, made the observation to me yesterday that he thought that actually he's come to the conclusion that he thinks Republicans are dumber than Democrats. And I just started laughing. I thought that was hilarious because I had come to the conclusion that I thought conservatives were definitely among the mentally challenged, and I don't mean real conservatives. I mean the people, you've heard some of them call the show. Listen, and you will hear a whole parade of human nature on this program. You will hear people call in who lie to themselves as much as they lie to anybody else. They'll call in allegedly to make a point, but only that they're angry at me. And they pretty much demonstrate, and these are people who call themselves conservatives. I've long made this observation. They call themselves conservatives because they found a socially okay label for their mean-spiritedness, their pettiness, their nastiness, their prejudices, and so on. And guys like Rush have really formed this big tent that has invited those kinds of people in. I think that's one of the reasons Rush has been so successful. He found people and he, in a way, he made them whole again. He let them know that it was okay to be as nasty, prejudicial, mean-spirited, and so on. In a time, now think about the times we're in a time of immense and ridiculous, of course, political correctness. So they loved it. They had a spokesperson. They had a logo, an ambulatory logo. So we have been talking about, in fact, whether Republicans are smarter or not smarter, whether conservatives are smarter or not smarter. If for a long time being a Republican boosted you up on the socioeconomic ladder, that the Democratic Party was the party of immigrants, of blue-collar workers, of the common man and woman, and anybody who got a few bucks after that immediately became a Republican and joined the country club. Well, now, I think if you think about what being a Republican is, I don't know if it's that anymore. I think it's a lot of people who are not perhaps as mean-spirited as some of these people who now call themselves conservative. But I think there's, you can make a very perhaps puckish case for the fact that maybe Republicans are not as smart as Democrats. Maybe the reason that conservatives, according to the research, and this is from UC Berkeley, University of California at Berkeley, maybe the research tells us that if you're conservative, you tend to see things in black and white. You tend to be more fearful. I think if you are not so black and white oriented, if you see the world in shades of gray, if you see the nuance, if you see the subtlety, that argues for a greater intelligence, at least more wisdom. And as the conversation has emerged today, we see that there are lots of forms of intelligence. There are musicians who are dumber than posts, but their music is brilliant. There are people who couldn't score in beyond single digits on any kind of an IQ test or an SAT, and they are very, very creative. There are other people who get really high scores, who are top of their class at this university or that, and when you talk to them, they're completely stupid. They don't have any heart, they don't have any soul, and the wisdom is lacking. but they're really smart in one measure. So this is a good conversation about what intelligence really consists of. 303-382-1150. Van calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Van. Good.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I think one thing, this ties into a lot of different things that have been talked about on the radio lately, too. You know, the whole college professor Goldstein, wasn't it? Or what was that fellow's name that wanted we need
Horowitz.
Horowitz.
Yeah, and somebody called to say the reason we don't have more conservative professors is if it's true that conservatives aren't as smart, that's because they're not smart enough to be on the faculty.
Well, or if you are smart and you start off your college career as a conservative, I think if you expose yourself to enough different thoughts, it's kind of difficult to stay conservative.
Okay, I mean, what does conservative mean, though? I mean, on some issues, for example, I don't think you should throw your children into daycare and warehousing for the first 7 years of their life. That would be considered a conservative position. It would be considered a sort of old-fashioned position. What does it mean to conserve? What is it that we are conserving, exactly?
Right. Well, get back to my point. But what it boils down to is that you've got kind of the stupid part of, I guess, what I would call the Republican or conservative movement, where, kind of the 1964 Republicans, the folks that just couldn't get their, around the Equal Rights Amendment and just, weren't about that. That's when the South started going Republican. So you've got kind of the stupid redneck Republican, because the fact of the matter is that they are voting in direct opposition to their own interests. You know, if Joe Bob's living in the trailer, they need to be voting Democrat, because when they vote Republican, they're not voting in their own interest. So you got those guys, which I think are the really stupid Republicans.
So your point is?
Then you got the mean Republicans, okay? They know where their bread's buttered, and they're going to make sure it stays buttered, and they don't care who they have to roll over to get it.
Well, wait a minute. We have the stupid Republicans, and we have the mean Republicans. Do we have mean Democrats, very many of them?
I think that it's fairly difficult to find, really mean Democrats. I mean, there's usually a certain, it's kind of like the question of whether or not they see a dog that just gets hit by a car. Do they stop and try to help, or do they keep going, or do they run it down and make sure?
Well, they don't want to get sued by the dog's owner. All right, Van, I think these are good questions. 303-382-1150, Dan on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, gosh, couldn't we just be as good as the liberals? I mean, please, Enid. I mean, it's awfully elitist, don't you think, what you're espousing?
Well, define elitist, and what do you mean by that, and tell me what your point is. Because in a very mediocre society, I've noticed that people who graduate, who have had very good educations, and who are smarter, are called elitist, as though it's a put-down of your intelligence, because we have many dummies here who are angry at people who are smarter than they are. But tell me what your point is, Dan.
Keep losing the election. You've just lost the governorship of California. I mean, you lose the Senate. You lose every election there is to be lost because your party just doesn't get it, Enid. I mean, so who's the dumb ones here?
So tell me what your point is.
The point is, you guys are sitting.
So you're calling up. You're calling up in a transparent way, and you're just trying to be nasty to me. And you're saying, that the majority mob rule tells us that the mob must be smarter because the Democrats have lost. Maybe the Democrats are dumb about how to get their candidates across or their positions across, and a lot of them are plenty asleep at the wheel. I don't dispute you there. But you haven't given me a very good example of why Republicans are smarter than Democrats, in your view.
Well, apparently the voters think they are, so that's really what matters now, isn't it?
Well, I don't, does might make right?
Well, I guess you're saying is, no matter what the voters think, you and your liberal friends are right, and that you still have the moral high.
So are you telling me that you're a conservative and a Republican?
Oh, so that means that's a nasty label for what I really am. No, I'm actually further to the right than Republicans, as you can probably guess.
What are you?
Well, I used to be a libertarian, but I'm just kind of like an independent.
You're not an independent.
Yes,
you're a nasty guy who has found the label of conservative, and you want to call up and bedevil me.
I don't even want to.
But you're probably cute in person.
People call me anarchist. Yeah, I'm really.
Oh no, an anarchist. Oh, all right. I thank you for the call, Dan. 303-382-1150. Ken on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Ken.
I agree with you that, well, first of all, I think that Republicans aren't stupid. I think they're just very lazy. They let other people do their thinking for them.
I think there may be, I think maybe, I'm really going to go out on a limb here. Another limb. You can hear it, you can hear it snapping as I contemplate it. I think that they're more selfish in general. I think they're not as generous in spirit. I was at an event over Labor Day, my cousin, who has now made a few bucks and is a big Republican, took me to the country club. And in my little hometown, there are two country clubs, both of which used to like to keep Jews out until they got into financial problems. And now they, of course, are soliciting members. But anyhow, the fancier of the two was filled with these people who are always trying to one-up the Joneses, you know, and you can just see it in their faces. And I was looking at these people, and I went to the closing night of the film festival party, and I really didn't know very many people. I didn't know anybody there. So I hid behind a pole and hoped to be invisible, which I pretty much am anyhow, and was just watching. I love to observe because I learn a lot that way. And I'm watching these people at the fancy country club, and I'm thinking these are the people who are trying to get their kids into the best schools, the best universities. They're trying to drive the best cars. They're trying to one-up their neighbors and get the best jobs. And there's something that's so mean and farbissin in their faces, and I'm just watching this. And I think that's what I can say. I think these people, I think conservatives are more selfish. They're more self-absorbed than Democrats.
Right, you've got a point there. When I discuss things with my Democratic friends, we get into lively, wonderful discussions. When I try to talk to my Republican friends, they only focus on programs like immigration where somebody's going to take what belongs to them.
Well, what they're afraid of it. In fact, they're not. Probably those people are helping them in ways that they don't comprehend. But the fear, and again, these are people who are fearful, and so they got to get theirs. And it's like that small business owner mentality. They got to get theirs, and they're going to squirrel it away and screw you. They think that somebody else is going to take what they have. There's a lot of fear there.
Yes, exactly. And I sure am sorry that they moved your show from 3 to 6, because that's usually the only time I can listen to you.
How come you're listening? Why are you listening today? Are you on the road right now?
I took off early from work.
Well, you can listen.
I have to go in at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. So.
Oh. Well, you can listen at work. Just you can pretend you're working, but you can get me on the web, www.knrcradio.com.
They monitor our internet usage like hawks.
Oh, they do?
It's a good, solid Republican company.
Naturally.
Yeah, they're afraid I'm going to do something.
Well, I appreciate the call, Ken, and you can always respond with your feedback to Ray at knrcradio.com and Alan, A-L-A-N, at knrcradio.com, and let them know how you feel about the lineup change.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling. 303-382-1150. Deborah, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I really appreciate this subject. This is something I've been interested in. I love this show.
Thank you.
Conservative and liberals, I just made a quick list. Conservatives, retro, want to return to 50s, don't want to pay for everything till they need it. I put a question mark on selfish or self-focused. Then over to liberals, I like the term liberals because there was a good article in the Denver Post about a year ago from a librarian who described liberals and said open-minded, forward-thinking, you know, and she was using all words from dictionaries or encyclopedia definitions. So I like the term liberal.
But it has become so pejorative. And
no,
I think
conservatives made it that way.
Well, and then liberals allowed it to happen, just like they've allowed the administration to set the terms of the dialogue that if you disagree in some way you are unpatriotic, et cetera, without ever questioning the terms of the discussion. But I think what has also happened in this country, and one reason for the culture wars, is that it became way too much on one side. You had everybody trying to make money on every kind of kinky thing that there was, every kind of pornography that there was, the kids absorbing it in the culture, so they're out of control and their parents don't know what to do with them. And so I think there's been some sort of a backlash, and it's been a sort of conservative backlash.
That's true. But the other side of this coin is, there's a lot of people out there like me with relatives in different parts of the country that are not able to partake in listening to your channel, even though, you know, I could send them links to your channel.
They can hear it on the web.
They wouldn't listen.
They would not. Oh,
they wouldn't listen. They've been indoctrinated into their church or into their community, and they focus. That's where I like the word self-focus. They focus on one thing. They think they're better by supporting the elimination of a woman's choice, because they focus on what that choice is that they're removing, not on the fact that it's a woman's choice decision to make.
Well, there's a kind of moral superiority that comes with that kind of behavior, and it's exactly what the conservatives are accusing the liberals of, a kind of arrogance, moral arrogance or moral... So the thief is called, you know, it's the thief who thinks everyone else is out to steal. Each is calling the other side arrogant and morally superior.
Yeah, I'll agree with that to some extent, but I still would like to see a less divisiveness that goes on between the two parties and a little bit more cooperation. It just...
I'm with you because we're this is now not just a game anymore. For years it was a game because everything was good. We were running surpluses. The economy was good. We weren't in any serious wars. Everything was fine. This is now post 9/11. And for politicians to continue to play the wedge issues, to continue to pit one side against the other, and to walk away from the possibility of a common ground because they can advance their careers that way or they can advance their parties, is the ultimate in selfishness. And we will, you know, a house divided cannot stand. Deborah, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live, the fabulous Friday edition of right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Remember those nights in college when you'd talk passionately about the world until dawn? Welcome back, class of 1150. In-depth talk radio, AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, he's a happy guy. He just found out how to get the very lowest price on all his insurance coverage, home, health, life, and auto insurance. And he didn't even have to leave his home or office to do it. All he did was go online and click on netquote.com. He knew there were several quoting services to choose from, but he soon found out there is no quote like a NetQuote. They've been quoting lower rates from the nation's leading companies, saving insurance seekers thousands of dollars since 1989. You can trust NetQuote for reliable service that'll save you plenty. And best yet, the service is yours at no cost. That's right. It's free. Just click on netquote.com for your best net result. Great insurance at a super low price. You can be a happy insurance shopper, too. Click on netquote.com right now and discover for yourself that there's no quote like a NetQuote. That's netquote.com.
If you haven't heard the big news about dieting, listen closely. The experts are now saying that low-carb diet plans do work. But if the thought of eating nothing but meat sounds scary to you, continue to listen closely, because the next 30 seconds could change your life. Introducing UltraCarb. UltraCarb is the original carb-blocking, fat-burning supplement guaranteed to help you lose up to 20 pounds in the next month without exhausting workouts or life-changing diets. With UltraCarb, you can continue to eat the foods you love, pasta, pizza, and bread, and still lose weight. After blocking the carb, UltraCarb works with your body's natural fat-burning mechanism to rid your body of unwanted pounds. Imagine looking in the mirror a month from now and seeing the thinner, happier you. And because UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work, you have nothing to lose except unwanted pounds. Call now to find out how you can receive a one-month supply free with your order.
Call now, 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. Lose unwanted pounds 100% safe and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
AM 1150 KNRC and Radio Disney present Boobash at Heritage Square on Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. Bring out your family in costume to trick or treat throughout the square. This free event includes live entertainment from Radio Disney's Commotion Band and lots of candy prizes and games. You'll have a hauntingly good time at the Boobash at Heritage Square Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. For more information, go to knrcradio.com and click on events.
Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:25 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. The lines are full, though. They will open up as we take your calls. We're talking about something that I think has sort of hit a nerve, and that is whether who's morally superior. You know, that you have the conservatives who feel morally superior in terms of the culture to progressives or to liberals. You have a, you know, my contention is, or my friend's contention is, that for every year you're a Republican, you lose IQ points. Actually, that's the Truman Capote's line about for every year you live in California, you lose IQ points. But in any event, you know, maybe we can make that case or maybe not. But you've got conservatives here who see themselves as so morally superior. And I'm talking about guys like Pat Robertson, who, and he's sitting around praying for members of the Supreme Court to drop dead so that there are better decisions or decisions that he likes better. And he's also praying for them to be a nuclear a detonation at the State Department because he doesn't like the State Department. How morally superior is that exactly? 303-382-1150. So the question is, in this culture war that we are engaged in this country, the Reds and the Blues, is one side smarter than the other? I have a friend who contends that Republicans are dumber than Democrats. 303-382-1150. Eric in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eric.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I think this is one of the most ridiculous topics you've ever had. I've listened to your show for quite a while, and I've always got the feeling that you didn't like to debate people. You'd rather get your point across and then call them stupid. But now I find that that's your actual opinion. How convenient for somebody to say, if you don't agree with me, it must be because you're stupid. How are you ever going to win an argument or a debate that way?
Well, I think you're actually, I think it's your stupidity that shows through. I'm not saying to anybody, if you disagree with me, you're stupid.
Well, you just said I'm stupid.
Well, I'm. Well, it wasn't a hard conclusion to come to. You called up to call me stupid. That's
no,
all.
No, I called up to say that your argument that anybody that disagrees with you is
that
stupid.
Isn't my argument.
So therefore,
since it's not my argument, I'm questioning your intelligence, Eric.
I know, and you're questioning it. Because
we're talking about Republicans and Democrats. So how would you define yourself?
That doesn't make any difference. The point I'm calling about is anytime somebody disagrees with you, you get them on a, well, let's...
Every single time someone disagrees with me, I call them stupid. I never call them stupid.
You never say it in so many words, but today you've just... confess to the world, but that's how you really feel.
Well, I think you're the one who sees it that way, but I don't know if you have any company or not. 303-382-1150. Susan on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Susan.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
I just started listening to you after I heard you speak at the Arapahoe County Democrats meeting.
Oh, thank you.
And I've been enjoying your show a great deal. I wanted to comment on the moral superiority issue.
Yes.
I'm not offended if somebody thinks I feel morally superior, because I am. I think in order to be morally superior, you have to care about people. You have to care about clean water, clean air, healthy foods, people that go hungry, people that do not have jobs, senior citizens, animals. And if that makes you morally superior, yay.
Good for you, Susan. Hear, hear. Thank you. And thank you for listening. What, you want to make a comment? I assume since you were at the dinner, you must be a Democrat. You want to comment on whether Republicans or Democrats are smarter?
I like the comment that an earlier caller made, and he quoted another person about all conservatives are not stupid, but most stupid people are conservative.
That's right. He said it. He said the quote is from John Stuart Mill.
That's right, and I think that's a fabulous quote. I mean, I think that's where I find myself. And referring to the gentleman who considers you close-minded, I'm always willing to listen to the other side. In fact, I make a point of listening to the other side, and I don't understand how they feel that it's okay to do the harm that's being done in the world.
There are any number of ways to justify it, I suppose. And I think there are no shortage of people who are lying to themselves and so are therefore happy to lie to others. But, Susan, you bring up some excellent points, and I thank you for doing it. 303-382-1150. Terrence in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Terrence.
Hey, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to comment on whether Democrats are smarter than Republicans, vice versa. I believe Democrats are smarter just for the simple reason that the young lady spoke about earlier. We are a more compassionate people as a whole as far as a Democrat. When you speak to a conservative or a Republican, in most cases, it's all pretty self-serving. yet they've been able to take that and market it as the Christian party, which is really confusing to me. So I go back to this statement. The Republican Party leadership, I think, are pretty bright. The people who follow the Republican Party, I don't think they're very bright.
You know, you may be onto something, and I'm going to say something else, too, at the risk of going out on yet another limb, which I can hear cracking as I inch toward it. You have got, as long as you package something and call it something else, we have a lot of taboos in this country, religion among them. You're not... it's not open to real discussion. For example, when you have these people teaching some of the most preposterous things that you can teach, and then what they do is they say, but this is what the Bible says literally, or this is fundamentalism or something. I mean, it's preposterous, but you can't assail it because it's a matter of faith, and you don't want to insult somebody's religion, and people are entitled to believe in whatever they want to believe in, and, you know, some people want to believe in Harold the Carrot God. That's fine.
Well, in most cases, the value systems of most Democrats, I have found, have been very Christian values. And on that side, I believe that we'll, in the long run, we will win this battle, as we call the cultural war.
I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. Here are my deepest fears about the state of the country right now. I just think that the educational system has been so awful for too long a period of time. You have people who don't care about community life, and they don't care about public life and public policy. You have people who don't even bother to vote or inform themselves in newspapers, who are easily manipulated by the very coarse but yet skillful tactics that the administration is doing. And so I don't know if it's too late for us. It could be too late. I really have severe fears about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a political science class that I'm in right now, and in it, there are probably three Republicans in that class, and everybody else is pretty far left. And I know it's the academia, but it's. I'm wondering
where are you in school, Terrace?
At Metro.
Okay. I thank you for calling 303-382-1150. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope I want this country to continue on with great vibrance, but we're in a very mediocre time. We're kind of in a dark ages. We're in a time of huge political correctness, and I hate political correctness because it's just another way of not telling the truth. Oswaldo, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm just calling to talk about your comment about Republicans not being as smart as Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a student at Metro currently,
mm-hmm.
and I figured that in every class I've been in where gay rights or women's rights or the environment, those kind of issues come up.
Mm-hmm.
When I raise my hand and give an opposing view, every time I'm labeled as stupid. So it's, you know, I have a problem with you saying that you guys are the more open-minded party because,
mm-hmm.
in my mind, they don't listen to my point of view. They just right away start interjecting emotion and...
What's your point of view, Oswaldo? Are you a Republican or a Democrat?
I'm a Republican.
Oh, you're a Republican. Well... maybe to a Democrat it doesn't seem as solid a position, but certainly if you're in school, you want to, it sounds to me like you're outnumbered in the class, but you want to have a vibrant, back and forth of ideas.
Exactly, but, I mean, as far as being, like, open-minded and stuff, you say, for example, when you bring up the topic of global warming, that topic has been brought up quite a few times. Every time that topic is brought up, everybody gets really emotional in class about, oh, how we're destroying the world, you know, doom and gloom. And then I'd raise my hand and say, well, wait a minute. You know, the models that they've used to predict global warming have been proven to be wrong. So,
actually, that's not my understanding of it, Oswaldo. So
exactly,
I think I'd be jumping on you too in the class. But I thank you for the call. 303-382. They want to create doubt. The administration wants to create doubt. And so they use some of this bogus stuff. Chris in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. I don't think that you should be ignoring the spiritual aspect of this, too. I do believe that most Republicans are based on a Christian-type belief system and that most other free thinkers and open-minded people are more willing to follow, holistic paths or Buddhist paths or one love Rasta type paths.
Well, there is religion and there's spirituality, and very often they are not the same. Sometimes they're congruent, but many times they are not congruent.
Well, that's what
so
I'm
there
saying.
Are people who
into the spirituality aspect of it tend to be more open-minded thinkers, and I think that also makes you more intelligent, in my opinion, because the more you know, the more you don't know, and the more you want to explore your options.
Chris, thanks for calling. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live, the fabulous Friday edition of On AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 57 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Campbell's Chunky Soup. A week from Tuesday, Colorado Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell will begin undergoing radiation treatment for prostate cancer. The 70-year-old senator, who plans on running for a third term next year, is expected to make a full recovery. His office says the cancer's growth is small and will not require surgery. 12 new sexual assault cases have been reported at the Air Force Academy this year. 9 of those have been reported since new leadership took command in April. 2 of the cases have been dismissed as unfounded. This is the first report provided since January when female cadets alleged the Academy ignored their assault reports and punished some for reporting. An elderly woman is hospitalized in serious condition after being hit by a Louisville police car this morning. 79-year-old Mary Danchez was struck about 7:20 by a patrol car driven by Officer Jay Browner. Police say the officer was driving at or below the posted 35-mile-per-hour speed limit. Britain has issued a travel warning for Saudi Arabia. The Foreign Office is advising residents to avoid all but necessary travel to that country. It believes attacks are imminent and terrorists are in the final phases of planning them. 3 wildfires burning in Southern California threaten to become big problems if the infamous Santa Ana winds kick up. Officials are most concerned with the 4,000-acre Grand Prix fire, which has forced evacuations in Rancho Cucamonga and Fontana. After a power failure yesterday delayed the capital murder trial of alleged sniper John Muhammad, court resumed today in Virginia Beach, Virginia. The main testimony came from an Alabama police officer who identified Muhammad's alleged accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, as a suspect in a shooting in Montgomery. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche beat the Edmonton Oilers 6-1 last night. The Avs will be in Nashville tomorrow night to play the Predators. Broncos quarterback Danny Cannell has the flu, but he's still listed as probable for Sunday's game in Baltimore against the Ravens. The Broncos go into the game at 5-2 this season. A hearty dinner loaded with big chunks of savory meat and veggies to fill you up right sure beats another frozen dinner. Make it Campbell's instead. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
In my line of business, close doesn't cut the mustard. I need to constantly find leads. Follow up again, do more follow up, and get the deal done. I never talk about the one that got away, because none of mine get away. I'm a natural born closer.
Why is Brenda successful? She's not going to tell. Her best kept secret, the Denver Business Journal, is one of the most valuable prospecting sources in town. With in-depth print and online versions, networking events, the book of lists, exclusive 3 p.m. email updates, the technology directory, and more, she's got 1,000 leads to work on closing every week. Don't let yours get away. Subscribe to the Denver Business Journal for as little as $1.09 a week. Even if your company already gets the Denver Business Journal, you can get your own copy while the leads are hot. Get started with 4 weeks absolutely free. Call 303-837-3500. That's 303-837-3500.
You're picking up the phone, right? You don't want to let this deal get away.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy. Got a tragic accident northbound I-25 at the Monument exit. Northbound I-25 is closed there. Backups all the way back into the Colorado Springs area. Southbound is equally bad. You're going to see delays all the way back into the Denver area, so watch for that. We do have an accident in the cleanup stages at 120th right at I-25 and then 26th in Welton. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, after a couple of warm days, we're now finally seeing some cooler temperatures. Partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon, 59, and then heading into tonight, partly cloudy, 27. For Saturday, a windy day, partly cloudy, 48, and it should be windy on Sunday. Also a partly cloudy day, but not quite as chilly, with a high of 58 degrees. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
Picnic? Hey, you're sitting on the goat cheese!
Oops, so sorry, but I heard someone say picnic. And as the anniversary fairy for the Denver Center Theater... theater company, I must respond to emergency calls for tickets to Picnic. So are you going?
Going? We're having the picnic now.
Mmm, yummy sandwiches. But I meant the play Picnic.
We're just trying to enjoy.
Oh, wine.
Did you want something?
Yes! I want you to picture a small town in Kansas. A single mom and her two teenage daughters get ready for the big Labor Day picnic, and then a hunky drifter blows into town, and the sexual tension ignites. But if you'd rather just eat goat cheese...
Oh, no, no, we'll go see Picnic.
My work here is done.
Our 25th season is our best yet. Come celebrate at the Denver Center Theater Company with tickets to Picnic, opening October 16th. Call 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes closed well off their session lows, but still closed in the red. The Dow Industrials fell 31 points to 95.82. The NASDAQ lost 20 points to 1866. The S&P 500 slid 5 points to 1,029. Big board volume was about 1.4 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a 9-7 margin. Microsoft, easily the day's busiest stock and by far the Dow's biggest drag, sinking 8%. Its worst one-day drop in 9 months. One analyst has downgraded Microsoft a day after the firm topped quarterly profit and revenue estimates, but Microsoft signed far fewer new corporate contracts than expected. Gateway weighed heavily on the tech sector, too, today, tumbling 24%. This followed a wider-than-expected quarterly loss and even weaker gross margins. Once again, the Dow is off 31 points. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
242 on the fabulous Friday. And it has been a fabulous Friday. I'm going to John Enslin's birthday party tonight at the Denver Press Club. So if you're invited, which everybody, it's not exclusive. You don't have to pass an IQ test to go. Anybody can go, but he wants 50 bucks so that instead of a gift, he wants 50 bucks so that a new chair, we can buy new chairs for the Denver Press Club. That's what he's saying. And we love John Enslin. He's a really a great guy, so I got to go and get a chair. We need a new chair in this country, too, as a matter of fact. What we're talking about, if you're just joining us, a friend of mine, politically well-connected, very smart, very astute politically and in other ways, he's come to the conclusion that he thinks Republicans are dumber than Democrats. Let's go to the phones, which are full, but the lines will open up. Cindy, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good, Cindy.
Good. It's glorious outside.
I wouldn't know, but thank you for the report.
I wanted to comment on your earlier caller who indicated, quite rightly, I think, that the Democratic or the Republican leadership may be brighter than we're giving them credit for. And I certainly think that's true in that they certainly lead all those sheep to slaughter on a regular basis, and the people follow them fairly blindly. And I think the major difference to me is that Democrats care about, I mean, Republicans care about things, just things, property, and Democrats care about people, and that's the big difference, and also that when a Republican makes a decision, they stick to it, God knows, no matter what, even if irrefutable evidence is handed to them to indicate that that decision was not the most appropriate they could have made, they will still, blinders on, I'm right, and they'll go about it, and they'll call it whatever they want, and people are silly enough to buy into it.
Well, I like what you're saying, Cindy. I think you're right about it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks for calling. 303-382-1150. Jay, calling from Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Is that me?
It is? Yeah, Jay, welcome.
Oh, I thought you said Dick. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, well, anyway, I think I'm going to have to come down on Greg Dodd's side. I'm 70 years old. I have traveled widely in this country anyway, and I've managed to come across people of various persuasions. And a lifelong friend of mine, well, he's not any longer because I don't speak to him anymore, but he's a very conservative guy, and I doubt that in my acquaintance I've ever met anyone more intelligent. He's extremely bright, has a photographic memory, very, just his intelligence is astonishing. But he's a very conservative guy, born again Christian, this, that, and the other. We've had some terrible, terrible arguments, and that's why I no longer talk to him. Well, that plus the fact that he's in St. Louis and I'm in Colorado. But
so you're talking about somebody who, on some issues,
very conservative, who are very bright. Okay.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Jay. What you're saying is about your friend or your former friend. You're saying that on some issues he's really, really, really smart, and on some issues he's really, really, really dumb. And you've never been able to reconcile the smart part with the dumb part in him.
Well, no. The fact that he disagrees with me doesn't. I take issue with the word dumb. Okay. It just means that he has a different point of view that it's so emotional for me that I can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah, but let's not be politically correct. Deep in our hearts, when we see somebody disagreeing with us and we really think we're right, we think they're dumb. Well, and sometimes it's dismaying because in many ways you respect a friend for other qualities and they're very smart in other ways, but on certain issues you disagree, and if you really, really think you're right, you're going to think that other person is dumb. It doesn't mean, though, that you can't remain friends. I have friends who disagree with me on a whole host of subjects. We just sort of keep away from those subjects and stay on the ones that we can deal with each other on.
Well, you know, I have a friend here in Colorado who's an extremely bright guy, the son of a truck driver, a union truck driver, who is now a very highly regarded lawyer in a very intellectual field of practice. And is extremely bright. And he's like me, okay? He's an old yellow dog Democrat. In our last meeting, he and I commiserated over how could working people vote this Republican ticket, vote for people like George Bush, that sort of thing. He's astonished. He does not understand.
Well, I think a lot of us are astonished, and a lot of us are trying to figure it out. And I think it has to do with some really brilliant marketing that's coming down from the administration. And it's a post 9/11 world. They're using fear to manipulate us. Jay, thanks for calling. 303-382-1150. Ray calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Ray.
I just wanted to comment on something one of your said before about being selfish, as if it was wrong to be a selfish Republican.
Are you going to defend being selfish?
Yes, there's nothing wrong with being selfish unless you've gone overboard, but taking care of yourself and your own, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I think there's a different selfish, the connotation for selfish has with it more than simply taking care of yourself. It means taking care of yourself to the exclusion of anybody else.
Well, I associate it with the Democratic point of view, where you know you want to tax my money when I make it, and then you want to tax me when I spend it again, and tell me what I can do with it.
Do you see yourself? You're a Republican, I take it.
Obviously.
Yes.
But I'm saying that, and that's why where I split from the Democratic Party is because they're always wanting to provide more social programs and tell me how I should better serve myself and spend my money. Whereas, you know, a Republican wants to build business, which creates more jobs and more money.
But what about helping people who are not as lucky as you are, and therefore helping the greater good, the whole society? Because you can't all live in gated communities and let other people just fight for crumbs. Eventually, it will corrode the whole country.
I believe you have to have some social programs. I just don't want to go over. I don't want to see socialized medicine. If the United States government can't take care of their soldiers for medical care, would you want them taking care of you if you needed a heart transplant?
What about the people who, and we have many, many millions of them in this country, who are uninsured, who have no health insurance?
I think there's just better ways to take care of the problem. One, like insurance reform. Price limits on drugs, when they can sell Viagra for $12 a pill. Yeah.
Right. But insurance reform isn't happening because we have powerful insurance lobbies. And I think a single-payer system would be probably a more productive way to go.
Yes, and as far as the original topic was, you know, do the Republicans have any brains? You know, I think it's a generalization to pick any one group and say, give them a stereotype is what you're really doing. You're treating your friend's comment as a fact, just like you keep quoting the study that being gay is a built-in thing. You've read one study and you're treating it as a fact.
That it's genetically hardwired.
Yes.
Well, you know, we're using it as a point.
But
keep saying Republicans.
You know, but Jay, if you're listening, and since you're going to defend the intelligence of Republicans, if you're listening closely to what I'm saying, we're using it as a jumping off point for a discussion. And I'm saying if your sexuality is hardwired into your genetic code, then and so on. So we'll talk about that. And I'm asking if it's true that Republicans are dumber than Democrats, then what? And you can dispute it or not, but to say that I'm taking it as a hard and cold fact, I think misstates what's going on here. 303-382-1150, Earl, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid.
Hey, Earl.
I was just thinking that maybe it isn't that one is smarter or the other one is dumber. It's that they look at things from completely different perspectives. One is capitalist, and one is leans towards socialism. One is supply side, and the other is for regulation.
You might be onto something. That's actually an interesting way to see the differences. Dan, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I thought I'd tell you a quick story how I became a conservative. I used to believe back in the 70s and all that, peace and love and flower power and all that, and then I found myself in the Army, and shortly after that I found myself sitting on the East German border. And all it took was one look at how that is structured to realize it was to keep those people in, not to keep us out. I lived on the German economy, and they called themselves social democrats, and I saw that my German wife, had to wait longer for a doctor's appointment than I did for a military doctor, which is basically what socialized medicine is. When I got back, I saw that the Democrat Party was leaning more and more, every election cycle they'd lean more and more to the left, to where they're borderline socialist slash communist supporters. And I also take offense at you thinking that you always make a reference to Republicans at living in the gated communities, like every damn one of us is rich. And some of
Dan, I meant that metaphorically. You shouldn't have taken it so literally. One of the things I've noticed about Colorado is I think that there's an irony deficiency in this state. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Most people come from one school of thought. Welcome to the beauty of both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, he's a happy guy. He just found out how to get the very lowest price on all his insurance coverage. Home? Health, life, and auto insurance. And he didn't even have to leave his home or office to do it. All he did was go online and click on netquote.com. He knew there were several quoting services to choose from, but he soon found out there is no quote like a NetQuote. They've been quoting lower rates from the nation's leading companies, saving insurance seekers thousands of dollars since 1989. You can trust NetQuote for reliable service that'll save you plenty. And best yet, the service is yours at no cost. That's right. It's free. Just click on NetQuote.com for your best net result. Great insurance at a super low price. You can be a happy insurance shopper, too. Click on NetQuote.com right now and discover for yourself that there's no quote like a NetQuote. That's NetQuote.com.
We've blindfolded Stacy Plummer. Ow. Can she spot the news about the Xerox Work Center with her eyes closed? She's running her hands over it. She's checking the 30-page document feeder.
Wow.
Stacy, it prints 16 laser images a minute and comes with the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee.
Really?
Wait, what's that? An embossed lease price. She's discovered the news. A Xerox Work Center
is just $66 a month.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. After all, seeing is believing.
Yeah.
Toner and photoreceptors sold separately.
Okay. KNRC Community Commitment.
Are drugs affecting you, your family, or a friend? Narcanon provides answers to drug addiction. They offer free assessment and referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers nationwide. For 30 years, Narcanon has successfully used a drug-free approach to long-term recovery that works. They understand the cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction. To find out more about Narcanon, log on to www.stopaddiction.com or call 1-800-468-6933.
Talk to Lionel.
Everybody's trying to reinvent this thing called dating, meeting. Oh, here's one for you. This one says she's fun-loving. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who loves fun. Really, I love ethnic food, now here we go, and 80s movies. You know what we should have? Dumbass. I'm a semi-literate who doesn't know what to say. Basically what they're saying is, do you really care what movies I like? Here's my picture.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Couple of things. You're listening to Enid Live. Just a few minutes left. I'm getting a ton of emails. Some of you say the following: Enid, this is one of the best talk radio shows I've listened to in these past years. Others tell me this is the dumbest show they've heard in past years. So it's been a vibrant discussion. I want to remind you, time change this weekend, so remember to set your clocks. And let's go very quickly to our remaining calls. David in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just want to go back to one point that I think kind of sums up kind of the ignorance of this argument. You had a guy that called earlier that kind of that pulled out the facts of the election, the Gore-Bush election, and the stats, the cold hard facts of who voted for who, and at which point you said, well, college degrees don't necessarily mean intelligence, which to me that says, okay, what does determine intelligence? Do you determine that if they agree with
there
you?
Are a lot of there are a lot of measures of intelligence. I don't know if we have ever decided as a society.
All right,
we don't have much time, so tell me what your point is.
My point is you're basically determining intelligence by if they agree with you or not. I can hear you and disagree with you because I realize that people come from two different spectrums. I'm not going to discount you as being stupid if I disagree with you. And I think that kind of thinking shows just how ignorant, you know, people that think like that are. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, if you think one way, that's cool. I can totally understand.
But the truth of the matter is, David, we're going to leave it there. The truth of the matter is that when you think you're right, you really do think that the other person doesn't know what they're talking about. Donna in Aurora, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I know I only have a second. I just want to say, look what happened back when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was our president. He was elected 4 terms. Does that say something about the Democrats? How intelligent we are? Right?
That's an interesting litmus test. All right, we're going to.
That's all, and I love your show, and you're doing the right thing.
Thanks a lot, Don. I appreciate it. Well, you have heard it. We have had all sides of the spectrum today. We've had people who love the topic, people who hated the topic, but there's no question it touched a nerve, and it went on for 3 hours with a completely full board of people who wanted to weigh in. We'll do more of this next week. And next week I'm going to have on Annie Garrels, who is the reporter from NPR covering Baghdad. A lot of her friends didn't think she would make it out alive. She did. She's written about it. And we're also going to be talking to Bill Clinton's most recent biographer, someone who wrote an extremely controversial new book. It's been getting very mixed reviews. It's very juicy, though, however. I have a lot of people I want to thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson for his fine help producing the show today. Jordan Lyles did a terrific job of keeping us on the air and all the other things that he does that makes the show work. Doug Kellett up next, 3 to 6 right here. And Dominic and Billy, 6 to 9 on AM 1150 KNRC. We have a wonderful weekend coming up. Remember, it's time change weekend, so set your clocks accordingly. I'm Enid Goldstein. I have really enjoyed the show today. Let's do it again on Monday, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Do something generous. Have a fabulous weekend, and try to leave the world a better place than you found it, will you?
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Rocky Mountain News. Now that Kobe Bryant's sexual assault trial...